So
I
should
said
we
I didn't need
start
more than.
this mess yet or no?
We don't have enough people yet.
We have four people. How is that not enough?
Yeah, I was going to say that's one more than we had for the first show.
Because we don't have Crayon.
Crayon's not going to be here. There's no way he's going to be here.
Let's say we had four people last time.
He's busy doing his resurgence of Greece.
All right, so fuck it. We're not starting anything. We're just going to keep talking. And then we'll put some audio out there and nobody will really know where it began, okay?
No.
Yes.
Is this streaming anywhere? Or is it just self-contained on the monitor?
It's self-contained. We don't have a stream.
Wait, I don't understand. They added recording to Mumble, and what do you use recording in Mumble for other than podcast? But you have to set up the really screwed up Pulse Audio redirect crap for streaming.
The recording in Mumble was initially designed to be a like an add-on for video games,
yeah.
So that people could talk to each other. Yeah, so Mumble is how you get
Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah.
Actually, they originally did it with Ventrilo.
I'm going to choke you, Pegwell.
But I scream Leroy Jenkins every chance I get. You shut up.
But
with
I will
cut you football helmet on, I hope.
No, you shut
Hell
up.
Hell yeah.
Really? No attacks on my attempt to mimic Peggy?
Oh, I missed it. We all talked over you. Try it again.
Yeah. Fine. Fine. It's not going to happen again. Fuck all of you. But what does anybody use the recording in Mumble for other than podcasts? Like, who records their gaming matches in World of Warcraft?
Leroy Jenkins!
Yeah, there probably is somebody. Shut up, Sandy. Damn it. Why can't we stream from Mumble? Damn it.
I think the authors of Mumble just don't realize how useful this thing has become, how much more wide used it is.
You know, I think you could, and I was prepared to do this for the New Year's Eve show, but I think you could stream from Mumble if you just use two machines and a physical cable between them.
Yeah, no, you can. You can. That's how. No, I don't think that's quite how they do it. They use, who is it that does the, is it Azimuth? Does the streaming?
No, it's Jay Lindsay does live here.
Yes,
all he does
I
is
think
he,
you're right.
He,
I think it's Jay Lindsay.
Yeah, he just has a client logged in that actually is using that Pulse Redirector to...
Yeah.
Yeah, you cut out way bad there, Sound Chaser.
Yeah.
That figures. I think all that Jay Lindsay does is he logs a Mumble client into the server that actually uses Pulse Audio to redirect the output to streaming server.
So he doesn't have
no
use,
extra.
He doesn't have to use jack.
Yeah, no extra
all.
Wires or anything.
Is he using jack?
I don't know if he. I don't think so. I think he just uses Pulse. I think he just has Pulse set up to do it.
Huh.
All the instructions I've found are for Pulse.
Huh? Because Pipe Man, he figured it out with jack, and he had to have a specially compiled version of I think of Mumble even. And then also of Icecast, maybe. So they were both jack aware, and then he's got them hooked together through jack. But I think he's the only person on the planet who's figured that out. I mean, literally.
Well, and I think he did that before everybody else tried to mess around with it. So,
he kind of
blazed the trail
for
us.
Long time.
Yeah, he kind of blazed the trail for us.
What I was thinking about.
Go on, Peggy.
What I was thinking about doing was, I can't remember the name of it right now, but there's actually a front end to do all that for Jack. It's a graphical front end. It's not a
Jack control.
There's actually another one though that is just for connecting everything like that, and it's all pretty and nice. But I was thinking of hooking like VLC to Mumble through Jack, just so I can play like promos and stuff at the end, or if we wanted to start playing songs or whatever.
Yeah, there are instructions for streaming into Mumble as well as streaming out of Mumble. They're all really big hacks, though. We should probably just submit feature requests or try and get somebody to add that functionality to the open source software that we're using.
Yeah, that's a physical cable.
Well, the other thing about this is that really, Mumble is not designed to handle things like music and stuff like that. It's really designed for voice transmission because it's using speech and Celt. No, but I mean, even like
raining on the parade, man.
Yeah, shut up, Sandy.
Yeah, let's start out and the rain show
that way instead.
Never going to happen, Peggy. So, into the news.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Dev Random. I'm Peg Wolf. With me tonight is FDR, Sean Chaser, and Pokey.
I was like, wait, that doesn't sound anything like Peggy.
That was a good impression. I like that.
That was also good. A good impression.
That's where the show starts, the right there.
Except I would have done it a little differently.
And Sandy and I probably wouldn't have laughed right over the top of you.
No, it was fine. I didn't mind it.
No, I think it was great. Okay. I'm...
This discussion is too meta.
Oh, God, let's not get back to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's where this whole show started.
If we were on Stack Overflow, we'd be getting our topic closed by Jeff.
All right, so now that you've started the show, Pegwell, thank you for that. Are there some show notes? Do we have some order to go in and some topics?
Yeah, I'm not in charge of that one. Ask your man Etiar there.
Yeah, whatever.
Nobody, Etiar, you got some show notes and some topics?
Nobody sent me the show note hat this week.
You're the one that has like 200 tabs open of news stories. You just became the show notes
guy. Yeah, all right, so give me a minute. I'll find one to talk about.
No, dude, I did. I sent you the show note hat. It's going to be 10 to 15 business days.
So I'm going to be the show note bitch in like the third episode from today.
Well, no, starting today. Just know the hat is coming. If you really need the hat, make a little paper one for the time being.
And write dunce on it.
Now, don't try changing tabs in Firefox with your control key pressed down, because that's just bad.
Oh, I tried that earlier today when we were doing the HPR show, and it screwed me all up.
I fucking hate how there's no key on the keyboard anywhere that just doesn't do anything.
What about the Windows key?
Maybe scroll lock, but that's like all the way over here. I don't want to do that.
Caps lock. Has anyone ever used that for anything?
Ooh. Well then when you type, it's a bitch.
Just unlink it from caps lock. You don't use caps lock, do you?
Yes, that's a good point. Why not? So I'll just be 10 to 15 minutes while I sort this shit out.
Can I tell a really embarrassing story while you're doing that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so a dude in IRC sent me a motherboard from overseas, from like, where was he even at? Like, the Nordic countries, you know, way up north in Europe. Because he knows I like reuse old hardware because it's fine. I don't buy stuff. And I've been trying to put this computer together for like, I mean, literally, it's probably going on 2 months now, just because I didn't have enough pieces in there. It didn't have any, built-in. It didn't have any onboard video, so I had to get a video card for it, and didn't have any PCI Express card to put in there. And then I ordered a case specially for it, because all my cases that I have that I like seem to be cursed. Every computer I put in them doesn't work. I'll build stuff that was working before I got it in there, and I put it in there, and it stops working. So I bought a case for it and everything, and nothing fit because it's a bottom mounted power supply in this case, so I had to get a power supply too. And I've just been collecting parts and putting them together for a while, and I finally got this thing together enough that I could test it, and I plugged the power cord into it, and I put the power switch on the power supply, and I hit the power button, and there was just nothing. Like, it wasn't getting any power whatsoever. And it was pretty heartbreaking, because I've been waiting to put this thing together for so long, and finally got to doing it. And while we were talking here, I looked over because I unplugged the power cord and I curled it up and put it next to it. And while we were talking, I looked over at the power cord and I realized it's the power cord that I use for building computers. I to keep them grounded. So I have the power lead clipped off and it's only grounded and neutral.
Oh, that's beautiful. I need one of those. That's a freaking brilliant idea.
Well, you just have to know which lead is power and flip that one off so that it never, you know, gets it from the mains.
Yeah. That's excellent.
But yeah, so this computer may well work, and I have no idea because I used my build power cord for it.
That is a very funny story.
Yeah, so I'm hoping. Now I got my fingers crossed again that this thing will work. It's really pretty. It's a nice case. But you're not supposed to be listening or laughing. You're supposed to be getting our show notes together.
Well, apparently The Hobbit is underwhelming because it's filmed at 48 frames per second instead of the industry standard 24 frames per second. What the hell is wrong with that? That seems like a good thing.
Yeah, but it plays back really slow.
Oh, really? What?
If you play it back at 28 frames a second,
yeah. Shut the fuck up. I was like, what does he mean? Screw you, Bucky. I can't believe I fell for that. God damn it.
Sorry. Man. Well, if you watch The Lord of the Rings, man, those movies went really slow with all that loot music and Frodo.
If you watched the extended cuts?
I would like to watch the version, or make the version if it doesn't exist, where all of the flute music, Frodo looking sad, is cut out of it. And I think it would be like a 35-minute series.
See, he said something about The Hobbit, and I automatically went, was he talking about me?
What, who, me?
Do you have hairy feet, Peggy?
I do, look, and
Peggy,
I grow...
Peggy, that's our secret.
I grew a fro... I'm a short little man.
You have an afro?
Well, not at the moment, but I grow one, yes.
Not where you can see it.
I believe that that's called a merkin.
No, a merkin is a pubic wig.
Yeah, it's actually a wig.
Oh, really? I thought a merkin was a pubic afro.
No, but I'm kind of sad that half the people on this show know that.
Yes, everybody knew.
Yeah, well, that
well,
was...
I have to admit, I did not know that, so, but they're real.
No, that was part of being American a few years ago when we were all supposed to hate, what was it, Iraq at the time? I forget.
What, I did know. Iraqis wear a lot of merkins?
Yeah, Middle Easterners wear merkins.
What? Yeah. See, I don't know whether to believe him.
Well, you don't have to believe me because I don't know if it's true or not, but the story that I got... is that in certain areas of the world where people get, you know, body lice and fleas and that kind of thing, they shave all their hair off so that they don't have, like, fleas and stuff, but they'll put that merkin back on there so it doesn't look like they're bald.
Oh, it was actually very popular cow. To do during the plague era, because prostitutes also back then would wear them to hide signs of STDs like sores and whatnot. So today you learned something.
That makes
oh my god.
Sense.
Okay. Peggy, note for editing. See, my time is wrong because I started and started recording, but when you're editing this right here, the past 5 or so minutes of discussion, we'd be cutting that out.
That is educational.
Hey, so good news.
It was on the History Channel.
Yeah, I mean, this is good stuff here. This is prime podcasting.
We're gonna get bought by Discovery if we start talking about more of this shit.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that has to get out there. Okay? And by the way, this is refrigerator right now.
Hey, quit
talking. Oh, Sandy, what the fuck?
So it looks like you can get them at beautyselect.com, maxwigs.com, internationalwigs.com.
You can get them at Silk Road. You can get them at Silk Road.
They got a pink purplish one.
Damn.
They seem to run about $40 a piece, and it's pretty obvious which ones are male and which ones are female. That's pretty cool.
I think Pokey's getting ready to make an investment.
that seems rather expensive. $40. Jesus Christ, what kind of hair is that?
Oh, listen, if it's part of your business, it's a write-off, so don't worry about that.
That's awesome.
I just had the greatest idea ever of how to sell these things. We market them towards competitive swimmers.
Don't they have those funky suits now? They don't need that shit.
That went right over my head.
Because they shave everywhere.
They used to shave everywhere. Whole body shaving.
Yeah, I get that, but if they wear this thing and then put on their bathing suit, it's just going to poke through, isn't it?
No! They're suggesting that they should be wearing them when they're not swimming.
Yeah, you know, for the downtime.
All right, now I get it.
For the downtime.
Apparently.
Or more like for their uptime, maybe.
Yeah, okay, I was thinking, you know, if you put one of these things on and then jump in a pool, you know, the shrinkage is just going to be terrible. It's going to hide it completely.
Now we're going into Seinfeld territory. Come on, we can drop this.
I've always heard that you trim the hedges to make the trees look larger, but I don't know why they didn't do that.
This is the show that's going to get Pokey removed completely from HPR.
It's going to get Dev Random removed completely from HBO.
I haven't swore once. I have not used one curse word or brought up one inappropriate topic.
We've been swearing like fucking troopers over here.
Yeah. I had to remind them that since this show does actually go out on HPR, we can swear quite liberally if we want to. And I actually reminded them that actually came up during the New Year's Eve HPR episode.
Oh, you didn't have to remind me.
That was one of the funniest things I'd ever heard.
What, the 69 joke?
Well, it was the, what, we can swear on here? And then everybody started swearing all at once, pretty much.
Oh, no. Mrs. Wife Bang made that 69 joke, and I about fell out of my chair.
Yeah, that was priceless.
Where was this?
In the New Year's HPR episode.
Oh, right. I don't think I've seen that either. I need to watch that, too.
There's like 8 parts to it.
Listen. So, okay, so the Hobbit story clearly didn't catch on. Mein Kampf is to be republished in Germany. Discuss.
I thought that was illegal over there.
Yeah,
so did I.
Is it being released in German? Maybe there's a loophole where if they release it in a different language, it's somehow allowable. That's not such a good idea, I don't think.
Oh, in 2015 it will publish Mein Kampf. Oh, and it's Bavaria.
Well, maybe have they actually reached a point where they've decided they need to learn from their own history?
So apparently it looks like because it's been banned, there's a whole lot of rumor and mystery surrounding it, and pretty much just hearsay has just sort of taken over all kind of rational thought regarding this book, so they're going to release it to put all that to rest.
Oh, right on. So it's like the prison keeper from Aliens when he would do the rumor control.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was probably a far-fetched tie-in. No.
That went over my head because I've never really watched those films.
Oh, no. He would. Whenever anything happened, the dude would collect everybody around and say, this is rumor control. Here's what actually happened. So he was keeping rumors from spreading and panic from ensuing. So kind of the same thing.
Oh, okay.
So apparently Steve Jobs was recommending that Mac OS 9 be ad-supported. He wanted an ad-supported variant of OS 9.
Oh my God!
They filed a patent on it in 2009.
Yeah, but he got it. Haven't you seen the iPhone?
Yeah. The iPhone costs a shitload of money for you to watch those ads.
Wait. Peg Wilson, speaking up.
Speaking of Steve Jobs, actually, one kind of nifty thing he was going to do is he had the idea of, like, in the 1 millionth iMac produced, he was going to put a golden ticket in the box and even dress as Willy Wonka.
You can't be serious.
I'm dead serious. And when someone got that ticket, he was going to actually give them a personal tour of Apple dressed as Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka? The Johnny Depp Willy Wonka or the...
I would have stolen his cane and beat him to death with it.
I'm going to guess the Gene Wilder Willy Wonka.
Yeah, Gene Wilder, yeah. Willy Wonka. Yes, excellent.
You know, the good one.
Just while we're here, fuck Tim Burton.
I don't know. I'm tempted to see Dark Shadows.
Hey, I have a suggestion for a dev random game, by the way.
Let's hear it.
This reminds me of it, and I'm stealing it from a radio show I heard a long time ago, but you can put together like a pop culture quiz and just ask, you know, random dudes who come on this show. Because, like, for me, you guys mentioned Tim Burton. I have no clue who that is, but I think also, like, Plateau would be great on the other end of such a quiz.
Oh, I mean, that sounds like Wait, Don't Tell Me.
He knows movies and stuff. No, I just mean pop culture. I don't mean news stuff. I mean,
Wait, Don't Tell Me. They'll actually get, like, celebrities and stuff to come on.
They'll
specifically choose something that these celebrities won't know anything about to try to quiz them on.
Yeah, I guess it's similar in that way, but just specifically pop culture, it's I don't know, because people talk about stuff like that all the time, and I have no clue what the hell you're talking about, and I'm sure it would be amusing to somebody, but, I mean, it's like Tim Burton means absolutely nothing to me. It's so unimportant to me. I don't even know what you guys are talking about, and my kids do it to me all the time. Talking about, you know, their favorite singers and their favorite shows and just nothing. It's a blank.
Well, that's you know, that's something that's been happening to me. It's like, okay, so I'm real big into music and that, but since I've really gotten away from most of the commercial releases, 90% of the stuff out there just doesn't mean anything to me. You know? The only thing I've, like, okay, so last albums I've heard that have actually been of any use in the commercial world, Wilco's latest album, which was last year, and now Jack White has a new album out. Anything else?
I don't know who
over my head. I have no fucking clue
people are either.
Yeah, I don't know those guys.
Sandy thinks he's in the mainstream, but he's really not.
The closest come from mainstream music, if I think about like CDs, like the CDs that I own. I think probably the newest CD that I own would be, I bought, you know, that's a real authentic CD, is probably Primus.
Hey, don't laugh.
I don't know what that is either.
Oh, yeah, no, I love Primus. But when was the last time they released an album? I don't even know. That was probably 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think the last time they released one was in, I want to say 1998.
Wow.
I'm worse than all of you. I don't know who any of these people that you just mentioned are.
How old are you?
24.
Yeah, you wouldn't probably know who Primus is.
I'm a year older than him, and I know.
You're American.
Pokey, how old are you? I'm going to embarrass the shit out of myself here.
Well, go on.
Come on, Pokey, how old are you?
I just turned 35. Sorry, okay. My wife was asking me something on my other ear.
All right, I'm 45. So I've been around a little bit longer, and so I know most of this stuff. And I, you know what? Here's the thing: the last CD I bought was actually this is good. Negative Land. Now the reason I bought Negative Land, and I bought it in a used CD store, so I did not buy new. But these guys actually are very much all about ripping off other artists and other people and basically screwing with copyright stuff. So that's the last CD I bought.
I'll tell you what, the next CD that I go to find, and I really got to find the Gray album, because I haven't heard that yet.
I have never heard that either. I would like to hear that. I keep hearing things about it, but you know what the thing about that is? Every time you hear a lot about something, it's a real letdown when you actually hear it.
Yeah, but what I keep hearing is not people saying, oh, it's so awesome, it's great. I keep hearing people say it was a really important stepping stone.
Yeah, and that makes it more interesting.
It does, because that, by definition, means it's creatively unique. And that's, you know, a lot of times that's what I'm into for music.
That's like I bought this box set of hip-hop stuff like 3 or 4 years ago. And the whole reason I bought it was not because I was into hip-hop or anything like that, but because there were milestones in there that actually really kind of tracked the whole evolution of how copyright is being handled in the U.S. You can hear from the early days where some of these artists were taking and sampling things and reworking them, to later periods where they basically were being shot down in terms of using stuff and actually, you know, using samples and having to come up with different stuff and kind of trace the whole history through that.
Oh, so you're talking about early hip-hop, like rap, like the early days of it in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s and stuff. Okay, yeah. No,
back to the Grandmaster Flash and Mombasa.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so that was like late 70s Grandmaster Flash. That was before even I started listening to rap.
Yeah, late 70s to early 80s where it starts. It was the whole Tommy Boy stuff.
Yeah, I don't know Tommy Boy, but I mean, I grew up in the 80s and I grew up on rap. So, I mean, that was my music. So I'm really thrilled nowadays with nerdcore. That's like, it's like back to roots.
I love me some Optimus Rhyme.
Oh man, Optimus Rhyme is incredible. That guy's awesome. There's so, I just heard, just discovered Dr. Awkward. That guy's pretty good too.
I have not listened to that one. I'm going to have to give that a listen.
Dr. Awkward School, and there's a dude who I haven't even heard any of his own stuff, but I've heard him on other people, like featuring. There's a dude named Kabuto the Python who's got just such a cool, unique voice, and I hope that, like, his own stuff is as good as what he's on with other people.
Honestly, my favorite hip-hop artist is Del the Funky Homo Sapien, or you might also know him as Deltron.
Yeah, I don't know him at all. I don't know him either way, sorry.
You know, see, that's
I don't know who any of these people are.
Well, how about
well, see, that's one of the things that's kind of happened with this whole shift in terms of music and culture stuff being much more online oriented. Is there is no real good way to find this stuff now. You know, you guys just listed off several artists that I may have heard one or two references to, like Optimus Rhyme. I've never actually heard Optimus Rhyme.
Have to go do that. He is so good.
Do we live on the same fucking planet?
No, because you live in Australia.
Top of it. Yeah, you're in Australia. That's a whole different world, man.
Well, okay, do you like rap at all?
Well, no, in fairness, no. I'm not a fan of rap, but
yeah, well, then,
I will go find Optimus Rhyme.
Yeah, then I wouldn't worry about it. If you don't like rap, then don't bother. But I gotta say, my favorite rapper right now is MC Frontalot. I mean, that's probably like...
Oh my god! Somebody I've heard of!
Yeah, right. Like, he's almost mainstream in this conversation.
Look, here's what we'll do, okay? You go listen to all these people, and the rest of us will go listen to Slim Dusty.
Oh, I wish
wow,
I got that
none
joke.
Of us in whose name I recognize have no idea what he sings.
Waltzing Matilda.
I'm going to be listening to Zero Project after this.
He sings a good version of Waltzing Matilda.
I was going to say,
so much funnier if I knew it 5 minutes ago.
Of...
It was a good joke, Pegwall. I wish I got it.
So, back at the point, Tim Burton is the douchebag that butchered Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and what was it? Alice in Wonderland. Yeah, so we hate him.
No, I've
well, but
seen...
you know, before that, but you know, let's give him some chops. So before that, he did Nightmare Before Christmas, which was actually really, really good.
Atrocious.
Nightmare Before Christmas? Come on.
Jack Skellington? What the... Oh my god, break his little fully exposed neck and good riddance.
All right.
Yeah, lost again. Every time you guys get back to the point, I'm lost.
That's perfect. That's Pegwell, that's the name of the episode. Every time we get back to the point, we're lost.
What was the original title going to be?
Well, something about
we're
something about
second title now.
Well, something about
Stoner language.
Stoner language, yes. Stoner culture.
Speaking of stoner language,
I blanked on the word stoner somehow.
I have it for the episode title. Here we go. Back to the point: a rope of sand.
What the fuck?
Wow!
I was never
got that reference. Was that a reference even, or was that just random?
You know what?
Well, then if it's that random,
I don't have to explain myself to you people.
You know
very well, Peggy.
the tighter and tighter I try to hold on to the thread of conversation here, the faster it slips through my fingers.
Like sands through an hourglass, so are the sands of hope.
Party on, dude.
Rope Simpson. Oh, there's mad disease in California. All three of you guys must be in California.
No, I'm not.
I reckon you are.
I'm in the middle of the country. Special
Peggy
land.
Peggy must be in the very southern parts of California.
No, I'm way more east than Sound Chaser.
Hey, there's a little bit of culture shock that no one has taken the time to point out, so I'm going to do it. But until we started doing these podcasts where, we had some Brits on and some Australian guys on, I always thought it was only, like, cowboys who ever used the word reckon.
I'm a fan of reckon. I don't use a lot of Australian slang. Like, a good example is just to compare me and Peter 64 and how we speak. But I'm a fan of reckon. It's kind of falling out of fashion, I think. But
is that considered
slang? It's a fun word. Reckon. Yeah.
Well, I think it's
reckon slang in Australia. Yeah.
Fair dinkum.
Well, I think it's a matter of exporting our culture to other places.
Thank you, Fagel.
Reckon would turn up a lot in. I think reckon would turn up a lot in westerns, and we exported a lot of westerns to other cultures, movies and books and whatever. So that's probably where it actually got picked up and derivated into their language.
Well, that's what I meant by cowboys, you know, like the western movies. But I've never heard anybody say it. But I hear the Australian guys say it all the time. And, several of the British guys I've heard say it.
Well, that's because they think they're talking to us then. Because, you know, they think it's their twisted filter on our culture.
I hope and pray that is true.
You mean upside down filter?
Oh, I've had enough of the upside down filter.
Where is Peter 64 when we got to do an Australian joke?
I know.
I don't mind a good Australian joke, a good upside down joke, but they're getting really bad lately.
I think that's the idea. Dan has been away for too long. That's what's wrong.
Yeah, he kind of sneaks them in.
Not really. They're not really very it's like a very thin veil of subtlety, like almost imperceptible.
Well, no, because we're all used to it now, but it's not, you know, when they're done badly, people just come right out with it. Like, oh, yeah, in Australia, the podcasts don't get recorded, and we have to pretend it's just they're not funny. They don't, I don't know.
In Australia, you have beetroot on your podcast.
Oh,
crickets.
Yeah, sorry, man.
All right. So moving on from mad cow disease, what else we got? Oh, yes. This is just the best story ever. The next Ubuntu.
Wait, Steve Jobs died?
12.10. Yes. Yes.
Wait.
I was myself quite excited when that happened also.
You said it's the best story ever. Then you mentioned Ubuntu.
Yeah,
really.
It is the best story ever, because we get to make fun of Ubuntu.
I thought it was going to be best story in Australia.
Oh, Jesus. Boom, boom. Yeah.
I don't want to make fun of Ubuntu. I don't even pay attention to it anymore. It's like...
No, dude, just wait for it. And tell me if you know the meaning of either of these two words also. The name for 12.10 is going to be Quantal Quetzal.
Yes, I know the meaning of both.
You do not.
I do, honestly.
You are a filthy liar, sir.
No. I you can ask my girlfriend. She's in Canada. You don't know her.
You can tell me what they mean right now, or you're full of crap.
Quantal is it's like a it's something with two states, and it's got to be in either one state or the other. So like you know, like a quantum particle or something. It exists in two, and quantal
is quantal
one
as
or
in
the other.
Quantum. Oh.
Well, it's,
and what's
it's,
a Quetzal?
It's a bird.
This is bullshit. Nobody can Wikipedia that fast.
Bird? No, nobody can Wikipedia
it's a two-state
that.
Bird.
They've already discussed this on the Ubuntu UK podcast. Oh. Don't you have a podcast?
Oh, he already heard it. What? Wait, you listen to Ubuntu UK?
Yeah, those guys are a riot.
Oh, God.
What?
Who is it? It's Jono, right?
No. No, I... No, it's not Jono.
Who else is it?
it's Pokey, who is not Pokey. Some people have confused us. There's Pokey. There's Pokey.
What? Wait, you're on Ubuntu UK.
Laura, no. We're two different people.
Pokey
and Pokey.
Right. I thought you said don't confuse Pokey and Pokey as in it was you. Right.
No,
Pokey.
No, I'm saying that some people have confused us. It's because the names are similar. Which I don't know why, because he's actually done stuff. I only just hang out with people who do stuff. But there's a woman on there named Laura. They're all everybody on there. They're really witty people. They're funny, and it's a fun show to listen to. I don't use Ubuntu or really care about it, but their show is good.
Well, this has just turned into a not bash Ubuntu fest. So let's just move right along.
Actually, wait a second. I actually have an article here that I was just starting to look at. That was a review of Ubuntu 12.04, the Ubuntu GNOME Shell Remix review, and the main subtitle of the article is "Why GNOME 3 Shell Sucks."
They needed to do a whole respin of Ubuntu to work that out.
I guess.
Well, so am I the only person on here that loves GNOME 3?
Indeed, you are, sir.
You want to know what GNOME 3 did to me? Drove me to an.
Show me on the doll. Where to touch you? Show me on the doll, boy.
It broke his headset, is what it did.
Sound Chaser, I have one of those dolls if you need it.
Do you want the boy or the girl? Experience in life, I guess.
So, no, I haven't even seen GNOME 3. I haven't bothered. I've been on XFCE for a while. I'm quite happy with it.
You know,
I have used
XFCE, and I think it's great. I really do. I think it's head and shoulders above anything else out right now. Enlightenment has surprised me, though. I had tried using Enlightenment many times and didn't think a whole lot of it, but now... Recently, I've been playing with it, and it's pretty good.
I've played with Enlightenment a couple of times. I tried it on that GoBuntu that was around a couple of years ago, and I tried it on there was another distro. It was like a paid distro; you had to buy it. But I was able to get like a live CD or something of it that wasn't installable or something like that. And it really looked neat, and it had some cool useless features. But as far as like getting anything done and opening programs and stuff, it was just nothing I could you had to memorize where everything was, and everything was, you know, three clicks away, and it just I had a
they have
really
changed that
they ought to that now they're but
that
they're,
is well that is now. That is the thing that has probably been the biggest change that has made me really, really happy. They've got a thing now called Everything, the Everything Launcher, and it's not just like a start menu. It's more like the old GNOME do. So you can actually pull up a key, you can actually start typing, and it will find whatever you want to find. It also has a backend that has plugins and everything in it, and it's not based on, what the hell was that language, that really bad language that was out there? C# derivative language.
How is this revolutionary?
Mono? Yeah, mono. Not mono based. No, it didn't say it was revolutionary. It's evolution, remember?
But you're all like excited about it. Oh God!
No,
we're having the desktop/manager conversation.
Well, Enlightenment in and of itself is an exciting project. I just haven't seen it usable yet. So for it to become usable at all is actually really cool, because it's so lightweight and it's so decent looking that
it's got so many features, and that's been the biggest thing. Is I kept looking at it going, okay, I can go into the configuration, I can see all these features in here, but I've got no freaking clue how to actually use them. And now that there's actually a decent layer over it where I can actually figure out how to launch things, or I can figure out how to do this and that, actually to a point of being usable.
Fine, I'll break out my Peter 64 flashcards here and just say, you guys should be using Awesome, because it's simply awesome.
Hey, you know what? I used Awesome. I have no problems with Awesome. I like Awesome a lot. I was on that for a long time.
Hey, Pegwall, in Australia, does awesome mean that you have to like configure everything by hand and it's completely unusable?
That actually wasn't bad. I didn't actually see that one coming. That's pretty good.
See, it can be done right. I told you so.
Yes, it can. Fine job, sir. Fine job. On a unrelated note.
No, wait. You know, I think here's the thing. Here's a problem with enlightenment. In Australia, it means you go back to the Dark Ages.
Oh, now you've just freaking ruined it.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, that one was bad. Like, you good job, bad.
And then you just tried to chase it up, and you just did a really bad job. You're fired.
Well, so fine.
I wanna sidetrack us here if I can. And Etiar, you were bemoaning the fact that we couldn't make fun of Ubuntu, based on the story that you brought up. But I'd like to point out that in and of itself may be good news. At least to you, because if we can't say anything good or anything bad, then they're kind of irrelevant, right? I mean, like that Linux podcast that nobody really seems to talk about or listen to anymore. You can't even bring it up and say what they're done wrong because just nobody cares.
See, I'm not one of those people. There was, on a forum that I frequent, there was one guy I was bitching and moaning as usual about something, and he pointed out that if you rearrange the letters of my nickname, you get Hatery. and that right there pretty much sums up my personality. So if I can't bitch about Ubuntu, that upsets me.
Well, go ahead, go rant on it, right? We don't
no,
care.
But it's been done. It's been done. You need reinforcement when you're bitching about something. Peggy kind of volunteered for that earlier, and now has just completely let me down. So fuck you, Pegwell.
Okay. So here's the thing. I used to use Ubuntu. I used to be an Ubuntu user. Okay, but I, honestly, it got to the point where I got pissed off enough with it, them trying to put in the Ubuntu One store and the cloud storage crap, and then changing to your Unity shell and all this stuff, that I said, fuck them. I want them out of my life. I want to actually have distros that have standard stuff in them. And so then I went to Debian, went to a straight like XFCE desktop, then awesome. And now I went ahead and started playing with Savion because I want to have the standard stuff or things that I can actually work with and not be tied into some back end of them trying to control what you do. All right.
Now see, here's
that's
the
why
other
it's
problem
irrelevant to me.
You started ranting about Ubuntu and then you decided to rationalize it.
No, I basically just said I got pissed off enough with them that I dumped them.
That's exactly my point, Soundy.
No, it's exactly my point. Everybody used to be an Ubuntu user, but they turned us away, and they've turned us away so completely and for so long now that they're just irrelevant to us.
You guys are missing the point. I just wanted an excuse to bitch about something.
No, we're not stopping you from hating. We just have no frame of reference to join in.
Oh, stop it. All right. So one last thing I will say about Ubuntu.
If you go ahead and do your Southern accents again, you can be bitchy all you want, because then you'll sound like a Southern Belle bitching, okay?
FDR, if you want me to bitch about Ubuntu 10.04, I can do that, because that's the last one that I ever saw.
That Mark Shuttleworth, he just got my knickers in a... Oh. Damn it.
In a blender, FDR.
I got halfway through and then I had a complete brain fart. Damn it. He just got my knickers all in a twist.
Say a vacuum. He got them in a vacuum cleaner. And,
what?
And you enjoyed it. And then there were two of us.
Oh my god. Holy crap.
Wait, I'm the only one that's done that? Never mind. It wasn't me.
I tried it, but I got my Merkin stuck in the hose.
How did you get it past the beater brush?
Oh, that was very nice, Peggy. That was totally a tie-in to previous comment. That was excellent.
That was beautiful.
Yeah, how did you get it past that spinny brush thing?
It was a cold day.
Oh, yeah. Shrinkage again, huh? It was a shrinkage thing, huh?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
From doing competitive swimming.
All right, no. Stop. Stop right now. Just stop. See, you're going to kill Soundy.
My plan is working.
Yeah. It will be okay eventually.
The circle is now complete.
So, one more thing I want to say on Ubuntu, and then we're totally going to move on. I would just like to point out that underneath the article discussing the new code name for Ubuntu, under related articles, it lists an article entitled Childhood Stress Leaves Genetic Scars. That's all I want to say.
Oh, that's a wicked good story. I've heard about that. That's good stuff.
What?
I've heard about that stuff. It's really cool. I can't explain it. I'm not that good. But what? No, that's it. Stress can leave genetic scars for like 3 generations. It's really neat how that works.
Wow,
that's pretty stunning, actually.
Yeah,
I'm like, I'm stunned that we all of a sudden just got like really serious.
No, I actually that it sounds fascinating to me.
It's really cool and it's really interesting. And so what it is like if you go through a period of famine and you have to adjust to that and that stress, you know, happens, there's like these sub codes in your DNA that are usually just kind of latent and they're never activated because there's no like a protein or something. It just doesn't hook up to them. It's not expressed until you need it. And then when you need it, it now has that protein attached to it. So when you have children, like that protein or whatever it is, and I'm getting it so wrong, don't even, you know, but it's something like this. But whatever that protein that's activated on the DNA gets passed down as an activated gene, and it takes several generations for it to go latent again. And it's not like a dominant and recessive gene where it can just go away. It'll always be there. It's just whether it's latent or active. It's really cool stuff.
So that really kind of shoots out the whole thing that we thought a lot of that kind of stuff was really more social conditioning and social stuff, and there's actually a genetic explanation for it instead.
Well, it's both. It's the cool part. It's really both. It's an overlap of the two of them. What I thought was cool about it was when I heard it explained, I heard a whole podcast on it somewhere. I wish I remember where it was from. But when I heard it explained, they kept bringing up this like 3-generation thing. And that seems to be the key, is that it's there for 3 generations. And if you look back in the Bible, all the curses last 3 generations. So, you know, you got to wonder if there's like some kind of latent or not latent, excuse me, some kind of, you know, observational knowledge that happened there that they picked up on this.
That is actually interesting. That's very interesting. Wow.
And now
I love Bible references.
So here we've gone from stoner stuff to Bible to wow,
Peggy's
going to
get very
the whole
angry.
Range here.
Peggy's going to get very angry shortly.
Did you ever read the Bible on weed?
And again, we have come full circle.
Wow.
Sorry,
why would I get angry that you're discussing the Bible?
Because you live in the South.
I do not live in the South.
Oh, gee. Guys, I'm not being serious. It's a joke. Peggy lives in the South. Even Peggy has made reference to this.
Yeah,
that was
Australia. It's Ohio South.
In Australia, that was hilarious.
It's not Ohio. It's Indiana.
Screw all of you. It's because he sounds so Southern.
I wasn't aware I sounded Southern.
You sound Southern.
No, he doesn't.
No, he's not. Midwestern is. Midwestern could sound Southern to a foreigner. I could understand that.
Damn it.
Fail.
Oh, this is bad. It's bad. Come on. Okay, here's the story. Massive methane release in the Arctic region.
Damn.
Well, I don't know about the Arctic visiting. Region, but this room's got a pretty good one here.
Peggy's been visiting.
I was going to say Dan Washko visited the Arctic, but okay.
So do you only have a headline there? Do you have some details?
Okay. So Methane stored in permafrost, which is melting, and methane hydrates trapped in marine reservoirs are vulnerable to being released into the atmosphere as the planet warms. Ugh. However, researchers are blah, 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 blah. Apparently the methane releases from these phenomenon don't add up when you look at all the methane that's been released in the Arctic region to date. So there's something else that's causing a lot of methane release in the Arctic region?
See, he not only skims the story for himself, he does it for everybody.
Screw you.
So there's a way to make this techie.
No, there's not a way to make this techie. I just thought that we were going to get a lot of fart jokes out of the reference to methane.
I tried to do a fart joke and it failed, so...
Yeah, all the fart jokes are too obvious, man. So there's a... There's a landfill.
It's an Australian story.
No, come on, I'm gonna make this techie real quick. There's a landfill by my house that recaptures. I mean, not that close to my house, but it's near. But it recaptures a bunch of methane that comes out of the ground. And I don't know if they've laid some kind of, you know, pipes or some kind of system to capture it all. But they recapture it and they pipe it to a university that's probably 20 miles down the road from here. And the university uses it to produce electricity, and it's a big portion of their electrical usage. And it's really cool. It's a project they started about 5 or 6 years ago, and it was the first one of its kind. So it's really neat. It's working out for them.
No way.
Yeah, but they're laying pipes. That's the cool part about it.
Our town actually does something like that. It's kind of cool.
Is it like a wheel abrader, or is it something, or is it literally recapturing the methane?
I don't truly know, but I know that they do something like that.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, the reason why they did it up here, because they looked at, you know, I'm sure dozens of sites where it might have been possible throughout the country, but this was the only place where there was already like a straight line cut, you know, right from the university to the landfill, and we've got like a highway running right there, so they really didn't need to. You know, fight over right of way and that kind of thing. They just dug it up and laid it next to the highway. And fart joke. All right, next story.
All the ones previous have been so bad, I'm trying to look for a good one. So, the New South Wales police force in Australia is on the bad end of a $10 million lawsuit from a company whose software they've apparently been pirating for nobody even knows how long to access their criminal intelligence database.
That's fantastic.
See what I'm talking about?
No, I'm serious. I love every part of that story. I love that the police have been breaking the law for longer than anybody knows, and they probably didn't even realize they were breaking the law. It just, I love that.
Well, there's an admin somewhere that knew they were breaking the law.
And if they did, they didn't care because... If they did know, they didn't care because they was jamming to some Judas Priest.
Okay.
Never heard the song Breaking the Law by Judas Priest. You know what? Never mind.
Do I know who Judas Priest is? No.
Hey, Pegwall, I've heard of that song, and I heard you say it. I'm from the RIAA, and we're going to need $6 million.
Oh yeah, well I've heard you sing Happy Birthday.
Ooh.
We can just forget this whole thing ever happened.
I've heard you sing Ba Ba Black Sheep, you're racist.
Oh, that's horrible.
Hey, no, it happened in Australia. Ba Ba Black Sheep is racist. They've changed it to Ba Ba Rainbow Sheep.
Ba Ba Rainbow Sheep?
Yes.
I'm going to say something in your language here because I need to know. Is this fair dinkum?
This is fair dinkum. I will find you a bona fide story about it. Hang on.
Holy smokes.
He's doing that, has anybody heard about this whole thing with Slackware? Where their website was down for several days.
Yes, that's one of my stories. We're getting there, okay? Just keep your panties on.
Well, speaking you know...
Slackware, did anybody hear their website the was down for a couple days?
Oh,
I hadn't heard of it. Does anybody know what caused it?
There's a comment on the DistroWatch thread that said the Slackware.com server is down. This is a technical malfunction. It costs money to do something about that. Something will be done about that server, but it takes a while. It is most likely caused by prioritizing and finances.
So everything kept running fine with the website down. Like, there were still commits to the repository and the changelog was still getting updated. That just nobody had the money or the inkling to fix the website when it went down.
Which I would suggest means that maybe the community needs to help out Patrick some, because I'll be honest, this kind of scared me, because Slackware's the oldest distro around still, and I don't want to see that go away. I don't want to see them ever in a situation where they don't have the financing and capabilities to actually keep things running.
But I don't understand. How complex is their website? Like, what are they running? Can they not just stick it on some cheap-ass shared hosting for a while?
He just said it's not an issue of complexity, it was an issue of money. So I mean,
yeah. No, but that's what I mean. Like, you can get a DreamHost account for like $100 a year.
Yeah, but you gotta realize, you gotta talk, you know, what they're paying for bandwidth, what they're paying for, you know, all this other stuff. Even if you went to the shared hosting, you still have bandwidth charges and all this stuff. I would say that, you know, granted this sounds like it was a hardware failure, but they could still end up in the same situation if they couldn't pay the bill for shared hosting.
Yeah, whether like, it's a hardware failure or a hosting failure. I mean, like, you know very well, once you reach the cap on your unlimited service, the bill goes up exponentially.
Yeah. I think I was misunderstanding. This is like the website where they're, like, releasing their ISOs and stuff?
Well, there'd be links on it to the ISOs, and that would probably come off some other server. But the point was, it'd be the front end to everything. This is basically, you know, this is like their front door.
Yeah, exactly. So, this is what it sounds like, is the front page to Slackware. What it says to me is that everyone who's interacting with Slackware already knows where they're going. They're not going to the front page and looking for links. But Sanchez, I'm glad you mentioned that about sending them donations, because you're probably right. It probably doesn't mean it's time for that.
Or yeah, corporate sponsorship.
Oh, fuck corporate sponsorship.
I don't like that idea.
Corporate sponsorship. Red Hat, anyone?
Corporate sponsorship has gotten us fucking Ubuntu.
Red Hat, anyone? Red Hat.
Yeah, I'll take that. I don't have a problem. CentOS? I don't have a problem with corporate sponsorship. You know, it's just that it's got to fit properly with the project, and I can't envision a corporate sponsor who could use the Slackware project for its own good and for Slackware's good at the same time.
Saying. I'm not suggesting that some corporate company should come in and take it over. I'm suggesting some corporate company go like, we use lots of Slackware, it's time for us to give back to the community, here's $100,000, or something like that.
Well, that's a donation. That's a little bit different. Corporate sponsorship usually means...
But if they get $100,000, they're probably going to want their name on the website somewhere or something like that.
Well, yeah, right. There's some form of quid pro quo, if it's corporate sponsorship. I wouldn't want to see that. I would actually like to see the Slackware project as a whole stay completely independent of any corporate liability, even if it is as much as putting a corporate logo on their website. You know, granted, maybe they do have some of the logos on their website already, but personally, I think, you know, it's up to us as a community to support this project. They are the oldest project that is still in existence around Linux.
Well, yeah,
I want to see them maintain complete independence. I want to see this project out there for 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Slackware, though?
There's still a pretty good community around it.
I use Slackware.
Use Slackware.
I use it.
Maybe I need
right
to
now.
Get into Slackware. Everyone seems to use Slackware. Like everyone that I know, I don't know of it being used in any corporate environments or anything like that. But everyone I know seems to be using Slackware for something.
Actually, that's how I first got exposed to it. Was actually a company that I was at actually built a Slackware server.
No, oh, Jesus.
And, you know, at the time that was, we actually brought in a consultant who said, best thing for doing this kind of gateway to the internet stuff was to actually build a Slackware server and set all this stuff up. And that was actually what really got me one of the very first things that got me interested in Linux.
I would just like to say this on top recording window sucks. My recording is now in three parts.
My wife came home last night with a Windows phone.
No, the recording window of Mumble being on top of the Mumble window is annoying.
Oh.
Because I keep accidentally hitting the stop button.
You can't put that on a separate desktop so you don't hit it?
I thought you were talking about Microsoft Windows. What the hell's wrong with you, man?
That's what I thought for a second.
Oh, shut up. All right.
Well, it's a good thing that I'm recording and editing this too, so.
Yes.
I'm recording it too. I've got, 2 hours and 20 minutes worth of recording that uninterrupted, so.
So speaking of Windows.
I don't see a place on Slackware.com where they accept contributions.
Oh, that's not good.
Well, people can contact Patrick Volkering directly.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, this last post is dated a year ago yesterday.
Oh, no. And no, you don't want people having to email a guy to make a donation. Jeez. Even if it's just PayPal, stick it on the front page. Jeez.
Yeah, well, but you have to realize, go ahead, Paul.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, unless that's not what he's all about.
That's what he hasn't been about for many years. I mean, he's been very focused on producing a high-quality, very stable distribution, not about actually attracting money and attracting other people and stuff, in that respect.
Yeah, but that has now become a problem. Like his goal is now at risk due to the lack of focus on financing.
Well, I mean, he's had one hardware failure. I'll be honest with you. This is the only time I've heard a story like this about Slackware ever.
Oh, no. Don't get me wrong. This story was obviously totally blown out of proportion. I'm just saying, given that it is the first one and it was reasonably significant, particularly when you put it in the context of what everyone's perceptions of the problem were, maybe it is time to start putting a little more focus on finance before things do get problematic.
Well, by the same token, and maybe this is a... I can't speak for Patrick on this because obviously I don't know the whole situation. But the problem with having something out there where he just automatically accepts payments or accepts money and that almost brings up the question of, does he have to have some kind of corporation or some other entity around that to actually handle and manage that money, and then has to report back to people who have made contributions or have to deal with some kind of business structure in that respect, which he may not want to do. So,
you probably do want like a Slackware foundation or something, otherwise it's going to be counted as your income and you're going to be taxed on it or some stupid shit like that.
Which he may not want to do. He may not want to actually have to set up a foundation and do all that crap.
I found what went wrong.
Yeah, what was it?
He was running on a donated server that somebody had given him. And it was an Apple server, and he's a smoker, and they just don't work around smoke.
Oh, Jesus.
Good thing I switched to e-cigs, right?
Oh, those are bad, man. Those are full of formaldehyde and stuff, aren't they?
E-cigs, those things are terrible, dude.
No.
Yeah. All the guys at my work switched to them and switched right back off when they found out what was actually in them. Look at what's in there, dude.
Switch to pot, man.
Nicotine flavoring and propylene glycol in water. That's it. I'm reading that right off the package.
Nicotine flavoring?
Nicotine and flavoring. And then
nicotine
propylene,
and flavoring.
Propylene glycol and water. Propylene glycol is the...
antifreeze.
No, it's actually an oil.
Antifreeze.
It's the oil that they use for smoke effects now. They've replaced dry ice with propylene glycol.
I don't even like inhaling that smoke that comes out of smoke machines, let alone directly breathing the liquid.
Actually, I don't know about breathing the liquid, but the stuff that comes out of the smoke machines now, the whole reason they switched to that is because it doesn't have any of the negative health side effects that you get from dry ice.
But it stinks.
I loved the smoke that came out of that smoke machine that Sound Chaser had hooked up to his water bomb. That thing rocked.
Oh, very good. So, as I was saying, speaking of Windows, you know, like 10 minutes ago, Microsoft Office 15 is going to support ODF 1.2.
Discuss. I will believe it when I see it.
And we'll have to see how they do with it. One of the things that came out was when they first started supposedly supporting ODF.
Hey, Etiar, in Redmond, does support mean that you come out with all your own set of standards?
Probably.
Oh, so Microsoft's an Australian-based company?
Yeah, it was an Australian joke. Thanks, man.
Boom! Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a Redmond, Washington in Australia.
Yeah, that's all they're going to do. If they support open document format, they're going to put things in there that no one else can support.
This is just too serious. It was supposed to be a joke article. We were all supposed to have a good laugh about Microsoft reckoning that they were going to support ODF, and then we were supposed to move on. What's with all the serious discussions, people?
Because we were actual geeks, and we actually have been tracking this shit for several years now.
Yeah, some of us care.
Given that we have been tracking this crap, we know that it's a pile of shit that Microsoft's spouting right now, and we should just laugh at it and say they're idiots, right?
I personally would love it if they would do it. I will give them the chance to prove themselves, but, you know, like I said, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, anytime Microsoft actually wants to step up to the table and actually play with the open source community on an even level playing field, I'm all for it. However, we have not to this date ever seen one case where they really have done that. So
I was going to say, speaking of pot, that sounds like about the biggest pipe dream I've ever heard.
No. Microsoft has done some free software stuff and some open source stuff.
It has been done.
So
they have, but they've always done it with an ulterior motive.
Everyone has done it with an ulterior motive. Everyone who's ever done free software has done it with their own interests in mind.
When I say an ulterior motive, the ulterior motive from Microsoft...
Self-serving ulterior motive.
Well, that's what an ulterior motive is. It is self-serving.
Yeah,
If what you're saying is that the reason that they're doing it is to harm the free software community, that's a different argument. But I don't see it that way, and I'll need an example if you've got.
No, they've gone out. I mean, they've tried to undermine it. I mean, their whole the first version of their ODF export filters and stuff, they actually were doing stuff where they were actually writing out files that were not compatible with, say, OpenOffice at that point.
Which they still do.
Well, I mean, the whole point was they're trying to undermine what the ODF standard was, and they were.
I don't believe that for a minute. I that's incompetence. That's not sabotage.
No, I would totally agree with Soundy.
No, it was far more deliberate. And if you go back and look at some of the articles on Grok Law, they actually went through and they found several other references to exactly what Microsoft was doing in their filters. It was thoroughly deliberate. It was very much of an attempt to undermine the ODF standard.
Okay, all right. Well, you win this argument. I'll accept that.
So I, you know, when I say Microsoft is self-serving, it's not just self-serving. It's trying to undermine stuff. The only things I can say that I have never actually heard. Now, granted, it is self-serving, but I cannot say that they were directed at undermining the open source community. Was their kernel contributions? Their kernel contributions were derived to actually improve the support for Hyper-V.
Yeah, but that was still self-serving. That just wasn't
self-serving.
Sabotage.
Yes, I said that.
So
yeah,
let me ask you a question about that, because this is something I've never understood about that. Those kernel contributions, was that done to allow Windows to run better under Linux, or Linux to run better under Windows?
Allow Linux to be virtualized on Microsoft's virtualization platform without you having to install binary blobs to have it interact correctly.
What exactly. Moron would ever do that?
I know!
Pokey, having been in the corporate world for a while, you would not believe how many moronic management decisions to try to do shit like that there are.
My last workplace, we were running PHP, we were running WordPress, so PHP and MySQL, on a Windows and IIS environment. We installed the FastCGI plugin for IIS and ran PHP under IIS.
Ew.
Exactly.
Yeah, that doesn't really cover it in the slightest, but yes, I take your sentiment.
Well, I mean, just doing simple math. I mean, I'm not a very smart man, you know, in present company considered. But if you were to run a Windows machine and as a hypervisor, how many Linux machines can you install that thing before it starts falling over? And now reverse the roles, and now you put a Linux machine as you know on the iron at the core of it, and you run Windows on top of that. And how many more servers are you going to get out of that? I mean, it just it's not hard to figure out.
Well, yeah, my current, it is. It is
my current
hard to figure
workplace
out.
Runs about a dozen Windows VMs on top of Citrix Zen Server.
Yeah, there is no straight cut formula for that pokey. I mean, that's not something that you can actually sit down and say, given the same set as hardware, putting Hyper-V on versus putting say KVM or Zen on a server, there's no one-to-one correlation.
Okay.
God, this just got real.
Yeah, unfortunately, you walked into my fucking job, so it got real for a second there.
And Peggy didn't say shit the whole time.
No, it was actually kind of nice. I liked it.
Yeah, Pegwell was typing to me in a PM in IRC about you.
That dumb fucking Aussie.
No.
No, no.
That was reassuring.
No, we were discussing Sound Chaser's water bong.
Okay. And actually, what he typed wasn't about anyone here at all. Just, but please don't let's go there.
No.
Was it about 3:30?
Are you talking about my water bong again? I mean, come on. I don't have one, all right? You
know? I like how we've been talking about his water bong, and he just now goes, I don't have a water bong.
Yeah.
That just tells me he's been using it for a while.
No, I've had enough rubber coats tonight that I don't give a shit what you guys say.
What?
Are you guys drinking tonight? I've had enough rubber coats tonight that I don't give a shit what you guys say.
I don't drink.
You must be parched, you poor thing. How about you, Pegwell? Are you drinking tonight?
No, sir, I'm not.
Me neither.
I think I should be doing a show with Thistleweb because, you know, he and I drink about equal, I think, at sometimes.
Are you like a heavy drinker, Sandy?
I don't believe you. You could not possibly drink as much as that man. I mean, maybe per capita, sure, but at one sitting, I don't think so.
Oh, dude.
What? What?
I'm 2/3 of the way through a bottle of rum already tonight.
Oh man, I did that. What kind of rum are you drinking?
Sailor Jerry.
Okay. I haven't
had
that.
Oh God, I'm sorry.
Sailor Jerry's great. Nice spicy.
Oh, man, I just bought a bottle of Bacardi Gold, and it is, as the Germans would say, Pissfasser.
Peggy's like, what does that mean?
Oh no, I know what that means. I'm half German, thank you.
But you didn't laugh.
My old man used to call that kind of rot gut panther piss, and it really is. Bacardi Gold, stay away.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Sailor is actually a much better rum than Bacardi Gold, sure.
You know, now that you say that, Peggy, I think the accent makes sense.
How?
Half German.
Wait, you're half German?
Half German probably sounds a bit southern.
Half German and you live in the Midwest? Indiana. Are you Amish?
I'm half German, half Irish.
So you're Amish. Oh.
Pokey, there is no way being half German and half Irish would ever make him Amish. That actually disqualifies him.
No, the only thing that disqualifies me from is getting a tan.
Mennonite, then.
Mennonite, no. Just the half Irish disqualifies him from all of those.
So speaking of drinking, I invented a drinking game, but I've yet to try it out. I want to know what you guys think.
Go for it.
Go.
All right, did you guys ever play Jungle Speed?
No.
No, I'm not familiar with that one.
Okay, then this totally isn't going to work because it's just based on Jungle Speed. But I think Jungle Speed could make a good drinking game. It could make actually two different good drinking games. But so Jungle Speed, it's a really cool game where, oh, geez, it's so hard to explain. Just think of it like Slapjack for grown-ups. And it's about like matching up cards and having a good reaction time. But I think it would be cool if each time you played a round where there was a winner, this is like a winner of all these rounds, like constantly. But every time there was a winner of a round, the winner would have to take a drink. And I think that would really level the game out over time.
Wow, that actually sounds like it could be fun. Hey, maybe we could do a podcast around that.
It's a face-to-face game. You have to be right there.
Not if you get people who are willing to agree that if they win the round, they have to drink.
I think Soundy just wants an excuse to drink while podcasting.
No, what I mean is
I don't need that.
No, the game is a physical game. The game is a physical game. You all have to, whenever matching cards come up, the people whose cards match have to reach for, they call it a totem. It's like a big, it's like a pepper mill, really. You have to reach for it and snatch it before the other guy does.
I don't know, maybe we can find somebody to code it.
And hitting like a buzzer isn't going to work because that, you know, there's no way you can bleed from reaching for the buzzer at the same time. The game is wild. You have to try it.
So really, you just want us to drink together and play this game so we could possibly get a fist fight.
No, it's not like that. I hope. Jeez, I didn't think of it that way. But you could play it the other way, too. You could play it where the loser takes a drink and then it just turns into a game of asshole, really.
Well, maybe it goes both ways. Maybe the winner takes one drink and the loser takes two.
Yeah, or vice versa. See, these rules need work. But you'd have to play the game first, and then you'll understand why drinking could improve the game.
You know, I'm thinking Self is coming up. If we can find the right volunteers, we could actually do a podcast of this in a bar.
Yeah, you really could. Because I
am so listening to that.
That's where I played Jungle Speed was at Northeast Linux Fest. Who brought that? It was
Did Jonathan show for that?
Yeah, he freaking won every round. It was unbelievable.
Oh fuck!
You should see him play pinball too.
Oh, that was horrible.
You made the joke. I only went along with it.
Oh, no. I thought you were being
you
serious.
You made the joke. I just laughed at it.
I thought you were being serious. I was like, wait.
No, Jonathan did not play Jungle Speed with us.
Oh, okay.
You bastards.
Yeah.
I love how absolutely gullible E is tonight. It's awesome.
Shut up! This is like the first time I've met Pokey, and I just got done with like 2 hours of curating news. I'm like...
Well, and the worst part is that references to The Who by, you know, Tommy by The Who is actually going way over E's head. So.
Oh, that's okay. It was mean and I shouldn't have said it, but I think Jonathan would have appreciated the joke anyway.
Yes,
I wasn't going to that. I was
we'll
wondering if he
go.
Was there.
Oh, no. He was there. But yeah, he was somewhere else in the bar when we were playing that. But people kept wandering in and out of the game, too, because you can play it with as few as three people, but really the more people that you have at the table, the better.
You see, and I'm wondering, because basically it was rejected on the last KPO doing a live podcast from Self. So maybe we could do a version of this game instead.
See, now here's the thing, Sound Chaser. You don't have to get people's... You don't have to get people to agree to do a live podcast. You just bring like a Sansa Clip Plus in your pocket and just turn it on.
Oh, dude, you have no idea. You don't know how good I am at that. I actually have a a Tascam DR07 that I actually have a condenser mic that I can clip to the bill of a baseball cap, run the wire down back behind my ear and into a pocket, and I actually walk around recording the whole time I'm someplace.
Now,
clip out whenever I want to.
What? Now, everyone itself is going to feed you liquor until they can steal this thing.
Nobody notices?
Not when I did it last time.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I went to a makers conference
dangerous.
In Milwaukee.
No,
oh,
man,
it was great.
It's just another nerd with some gear in the crowd. Like, it's awesome, dude. You can do whatever you need.
Yeah, well, and if anybody asks me, I tell them what I'm doing. I mean, you know, I've got no qualms about telling people what I'm doing.
Yeah, I've, and again, I go back to the with Sansa Clip Plus, I've done the same thing, clipped it to my ball cap, and been able to walk around and record hands-free.
Yeah. Well, the great thing about the Tascam is when I'm recording with it, it actually breaks everything every hour. So it breaks it into one-hour chunks that I can go back and edit and pull out what I need.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
How come you guys call it a ball cap?
Because I call it a baseball cap or ball cap. Just to you know what kind of hat it is. But I never wear hats, so you can't take that from me anyway.
I wear them all the time.
It's the first time I've heard it called something like that. And when you said you were running around clipping things to your ball cap, I kind of heard something different. And I was just like, oh, okay.
Where I'm from,
we
call that...
No, we're not putting it down there. It's the baseball cap on our heads.
Where I come from, they call that the utility or tactical merkin.
Now, Pegwall, you needed to say that in your W voice.
No.
Aww. Why not?
That was perfect for your W voice.
Nope.
Why not? You busted.
So when was the last time any of you guys compared like cell phone plans and that kind of thing?
Why?
My mind went somewhere else again. My mind went comparing merkins. I don't know why.
Yeah, that comparing word just kind of hung out there for a second.
Yeah, it really did.
That's why we don't do a video chat here.
Okay, so I don't compare cell phone plans.
Dev random roulette, we can compare merkins.
Okay, I don't compare cell phone plans primarily because mine's half mixed up with my work, with needs for work. So I've got like an unlimited data plan, unlimited call plan, all that stuff. So I don't ever bother comparing anybody else's plans.
So does your work pay for part of it? Is that why you don't care?
Yeah, they have to.
Yeah, okay.
Well, okay, let's compare the Aussie and the Yankees then.
Well, I have unlimited call, data, and text for about $120 a month.
Yeah, mine's about $150 a month.
Holy crap.
That's what AT&T wanted to soak us for, too. But we just found this other one, Net10, that'll do unlimited calling, data, and texting for $50 a month, or $45 a month.
Okay, so I'm stuck with mine. It's unlimited call, data, text at $150 a month, but I get $50 back from work, and I actually have to have that plan because I'm actually on a business-based plan.
Right. And so that's why I got the same provider as them.
Yeah, exactly. And because I have to actually run a separate program to actually access my email.
So who's your carrier?
Verizon.
Yeah, it sounded like Verizon too. And Pegwall, I'm guessing you're AT&T because that's the deal they want.
No, sir. I'm on Sprint, where I have actual true unlimited data.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because they want about $120 a piece for my wife and I too for our phones with data plans, and we're just like, no, this is not gonna happen.
What the hell?
Well, okay, no, let me back up for a minute. They, for a family plan, you get, it's not even unlimited minutes, but for the amount of minutes that we would need, the family plan would be like $100, and then they want $20 a piece for data. So for $20, AT&T will give you 300 megabytes.
You
shocked everyone into silence with that awful crime, haven't I?
Yeah, you could go through 300 megs easily in an hour.
You could go through 300 megs by wandering around and your phone just pinging the tower.
Hang on, before I put too much shit on your plans. Sandy, what is your job?
I'm actually in IT. Server architecture and support person.
Okay. Alright, so
that's
so
why
you get like
I have to be able to,
crap on
yeah,
your
exactly. Okay. I have to be able to get my email so I can check out alerts, or if I have to be on call for stuff, I have to be able to reach but on call if there's actually failover activity or any emergency type activities, I have to be able to access my email and my phone.
But that's all that bullshit.
But they
pay for it. They pay for it, so I'm not worried
but
about it.
No, his job that pays for his phone. He's actually, it's a booty call.
Yeah,
answer all the time.
Here's what's bullshit. I am on call 24/7. If I get an alert SMS, I'm supposed to drop what I'm doing and go get it. And work doesn't pay for my phone.
Why wouldn't they pay for your phone? They want
they should pay at least partially for it.
Yeah, well, that's a good question. One to which I have no answer. But
have you asked them?
Back to
look. This is a good point to look though, because right now I was just looking at my data usage for the month, and I've got 677 meg used for this month.
Okay, now let the man speak.
Almost a gig.
I work for a pretty small company, so I reckon they probably just don't even consider paying for anybody's phone. But you guys are I can't believe how much you guys are paying. I mean, I don't get much on my plan, but my plan's cheap. I am on prepaid just because it's cheaper than plan. I used to be on plan, and prepaid's cheaper, so I switched back to prepaid. I pay $40 a month for, I think, about $600 worth of calls, and I only get 800 megs of data, but I actually don't even use it. And yeah, I'm pretty heavy on data. But I suppose you use a lot more data when you have a data network that actually works.
See, I don't know, because I've never had a data plan, and even though I have an Android phone, I still don't have a data plan, and I just turn the network
off.
Wow,
the Wi-Fi.
No, that's amazing. I leave the Wi-Fi on. I turn the network off. Yeah. I don't use it.
Wow.
And it's just because that's what I really want. I want a phone with, something along the lines of unlimited minutes for calling. Because I talk to a friend of mine all the time. He's pretty old school, and he really only communicates over the phone. And I don't need text. I don't want to pay for text. I don't want to pay for data. I just want a phone that makes phone calls. And they don't exist anymore.
I want a plan that is like data with like 10 calls and 10 SMSs a month, but they won't do that here.
Yeah, well, they won't do either. You got to get unlimited everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, the funny thing about mine is that all the data usage on here is between the email for my company and updates to the applications. Literally, that's all I've used.
What is my data usage for this month?
See, I wouldn't even do that. I'd turn the network off and just let it all be done over Wi-Fi.
Yeah, but I can't do that because if I'm outside of a Wi-Fi area, I've got to actually have it.
Okay, so you go on the road for them too?
Well, but I drive. Well, not necessarily on the road, like real wide area, but I drive around town and stuff, so I'll be between Wi-Fi areas.
Okay, so it's been 7 days, so it's a week. I've used 102 megabytes.
Yeah, mine. By the way, that's 677.
That's on my phone, though.
Yeah, so mine, the 677 is for the whole month.
I use plenty more data on my tablet, but my tablet has $150 for 10 gigs, and that lasts a year.
Ooh, my tablets are all Wi-Fi based only. Yeah, I refuse to buy anything that I have to have any other kind of data plan for.
Yeah, I don't see a need for mobile network.
I would refuse to be on any kind of pay by a month plan for my tablet, but as long as I can spend $150 and just have data for a year, I'm with that. The whole, like starting a Wi-Fi, because I have a 3-hour commute each day, so like back and forth, I have 1.5 hours each way. So, the tablet with the internet is really awesome for me. So I'm happy to pay for that.
Are you commuting in a car or is that public transit?
That's that's like 35 minutes walking and 50 minutes train.
Wow. Okay, because see, mine's all driving, and I only do 20 to 30 minutes each way.
They don't have bicycles in Australia? You got to walk to the train station?
Yes, they have bicycles, and I could get a bicycle, but there's two ends of walking, and both are pretty much equal to each other, so I don't really see much point riding a bike. And, but like, there's no bikes. Place to put your... this. Okay. There's no place to put a bike at work. I don't know where I'd put it, and I certainly don't trust leaving my bike at the train station, so I just walk. And I'm one of those people that just sweats profusely for like no apparent reason whatsoever. So if I rode to work, it would probably look like I'd just walk through torrential rain by the time I got to work.
Nah, I can relate to that. That I can understand.
I would very much like a job closer to home. I'm actually writing my resume right now. Well, not right now, but before the podcast started, I was working on my resume.
I didn't know your resume was in one of those tabs in your browser.
Check.
I've been thinking I need to actually update my resume and stuff and circulate it, but I don't know. Okay, I kind of like my current job, so I'm not real worried about it.
I got another good one for you. So my the company that I work for now, they hired a bunch of us on from the company that we used to work for because they won the contract and they needed people in place who knew the system and who knew the campus. So they hired us on and they changed our job titles so that they could pay us less because in So in the area that we're in, I'm a phone technician. In the area that we're in, the phone technician prevailing wage is somewhere along the lines of $28 an hour, something like that, at the top of their pay scale. It's a union type scale. And for a network engineer, it's like $21.50 or something like that. So they called us all network engineers and hired us on so they didn't have to give us the raise that we would do because we were about to get that raise up to good money. And so I was so angry, I was so pissed off that I put network engineer on my LinkedIn profile and just hoping if anybody called me, I could refer them to my company, you know, but I never changed it back. You know, once my ire settled down, I never changed it back. And I've been getting calls lately from a headhunter looking for a network engineer in my area. And this lady's like, yeah, we need someone who can run these citywide systems and you estimate lay in fiber and all this. Are you interested? We really like your resume on it. And it's just,
holy shit.
So now I've got to decide, do I want to update my resume and interview for this thing and just say, look, it's over my head, but I'm a fast learner. Or do I want to just tell her I'm not interested?
Well, okay, so here's my dilemma. Here's the funny one for me. Company that I left is still trying to backfill my position.
Nice. How long ago? You back?
18 months.
Oh, now, my God.
On top of this, another person has left. So they are actually trying to backfill for two people now.
Have they called you to ask if you'll come back?
I keep getting hits from headhunters once a week.
Oh, it's headhunters calling you. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Every week, just about.
How big is the that lost the two people?
Well, here's the thing about it. It's a smaller division of a really big company. Basically, there were about, in my direct group, there were about 20 people.
So tell them to go back. Tell the headhunters, because this is great when you tell the headhunters this, because they're not going to tell the company your name. They're going to say, I have a candidate who can fill this slot. Tell the headhunter you're looking for $200,000.
Oh, no, they listed it as 70 to 90 grand, period.
Right, and tell the headhunter you'll take the job for 200. And they'll,
yeah,
and they'll report. It. So tell them it's 150. You know, tell them I'll take the job for 150 and see what happens.
You want to know what the problem is?
You don't want to go work there for any amount?
I would rather be dead than go back to that company. Honestly, guys, yeah. Serious.
My last employer was that. Yeah.
All right.
That unfortunately, I can't make a joke about that. If I set foot back on that company's grounds, I want to be struck by lightning.
That doesn't stop you from telling the headhunter you want $200,000 for the job.
No, but you know what I've done?
Fuck with them.
You want to know what I've done? Happened. You want to know what I've done? I've called the headhunters and I said, "I'll make you a bet that's a job for company X," and we're like, "Yeah." And I'm like, You want to understand why you're actually searching for people so hard and you've been searching for them for over a year?
Oh, no.
It's because I've actually left that company and they have not been able to hold somebody in the position for over a freaking year. And now they've actually got somebody else who's actually left and they're trying to backfill for two people. And when I tell the headhunters that, you have no idea. I mean, the headhunters are just like stumbling all over the place going, are you serious? It's like, they're just like, they have no idea how bad that environment really is.
If you could make that more concise, you would really drop them. If you just said, because you're trying to fill my old job. If you just said that, you would floor them. You wouldn't, you'd hear silence.
I am that eloquent when I talk to them. I only do about once a month or so though? Just to make for the fun of it. Oh, they're still going to look for somebody, but it's a little bit of a revelation to them, realize that they're trying to fill a position that nobody wants. And the worst part is, they actually did get somebody to come in and work for, it was 1 week before the guy quit. And the worst part about it is, guy's last day was actually day before April 1st.
So they didn't.
So what's April 1st?
April 1st, April Fool's Day? Big joke day? Okay.
Yeah.
So one of the guys from the office texted me and told me that the guy who had backfilled me was quitting. And I looked at the time, and it, you know, it was what, March 31st or whatever. March 31st, whatever, at like 10 p.m. And so I texted him back and I said, if you had sent this to me 2 hours later, I would have thought it was a joke.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, it ain't no joke. I'm like, that's almost as good of a joke right there as there is that the guy actually quit the day before April Fool's.
I got a fun story about what happened on April Fool's.
This will be good.
All right. My cousin and his girlfriend have been living together, right? Well, she found out she was
sin.
Well, wow, this podcast is getting more southern every freaking minute.
That's not southern.
Well, anyway, she found out
southern would have been in sin, y'all.
She found out she was pregnant. Guess which day she picked to reveal this information?
Oh no!
Wait. How many guesses do I get?
You get one. If you get it wrong, I'm gonna slap you.
So April Fool's
yesterday.
You're lucky you have to hold down a button to do the push to talk, or else I'd fake slap you on this show.
Oh, I love peg wool slaps. Everybody knows that.
That was right good. There.
But when she revealed this information, we were just like, whatever. It just kept going all day, you know. Because who honestly reveals something serious like that on April Fool's Day?
Oh, that's no. That reminds me of a gag that my mom played on my sister once.
Go on.
That was bad setup. Bad setup.
No, honest. This truly happened. And I hope I can tell this as well as my mom ever told it. But back in like the 80s, my mom, for the first time in her life, had the chance to get contact lenses because she's got all kinds of like stigmatisms and lazy eyes and all this kind of stuff. And they just never worked up until then. So she was all excited about getting her contact lenses. And for like 2 or 3 months on end, she would talk about, oh, I'm going to the doctors. I can't wait to go to the doctors. I'm so excited to go to the doctors. And yeah, everybody knew she was going to get her contact lenses. And I was a little too young to remember this firsthand, but my older sister, you know, was there the whole time. And she was old enough to have remembered it firsthand. But it finally comes down to the day when my mom's going to go. She's going to take the train into Boston and get her contact lenses. And she says, oh, it's today. Today's the day. I'm finally going to the doctors. I'm so excited. And my sister, who is one of the most gullible people in the world, she says, Mom, what are you going to the doctors for? And my mom was just so beside herself that my sister didn't know what she was going to the doctors for that she decided this was a good time to make something up. So she told her that she was going to get a boob job. And my sister, she's got to be probably 16, 17 at the time. She says, really, Mom, you're getting a boob job? My mom says, yeah, I really am. And it took her a minute to convince her. And finally, my sister says, Mom, can I get one too? And so my mom says, yeah, you can get one too. That's fine. She says, but you have to do it the way I'm doing it. And she says, what do you mean you have to do it? I have to do the way you're doing it. She says, well, you know, honey, that we don't have a lot of money and it's not really something we can afford. She says, so I'm doing them one at a time. I'm going to go today. And I'll go back in a couple of months and I'll get the other one done. So I might look a little funny for a while, but that's okay. So my mom, of course, goes and gets her contact lenses and is wearing them She's wearing these contact lenses for about a month and a half. And my sister says, Mom, whatever happened? Why didn't you ever get your boob job? And my mom says, I was pulling your leg, honey. You didn't know I was just teasing you? And my sister about broke down. Oh, no, I told all my friends at school. What do you mean? How to make like a repair around the house or something. I'll call him up and ask him about something. And I called him once, and I was asking him about like filling chips in plaster or something like that. And he went on for a few minutes.
Wow.
Oh, another funny part about the whole my cousin and his girlfriend story is his brother has three kids, and his brother is 6 months younger than I am. So when he told his mom, he said, well, Mom, you're going to have another grandkid on the way. She was sitting there on the couch, jumps up, storms out of the room screaming, I'm going to kill your brother. Then she, yeah, it gets better. She had to chase her down and go, no, no, Mom, no, I'm having a kid.
Oh, man, my sister once told my mom that she was pregnant before she got married, and she wasn't. This was our family playing these jokes, and she had my mom in tears.
Tears of, like, sadness.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. She was totally distraught. She was devastated. This was, like, in the late 80s, and my sister was still in high school, and she had her totally convinced.
Oh, shit, still in high school. Was that, like, punishment or something?
What? No, it was a joke, was a man. Joke.
Yeah, I mean, was she punishing your mother for, like, doing something mean?
I was going to say yes in the 80s. That's how they punished teen girls. They forced them to get pregnant.
No, Jesus. I think Southerners don't
have the
greatest
grasp. It actually was punishment. It was, she was trying to get back at her from me.
See?
Families in the U.S. are just weird at times. I mean, some of the dynamics
Australian families are like the poster children for normalcy.
Well, I was going to go there, all right?
Oh, man. This whole joke conversation reminds me of one of my very favorite memories in my whole life. It's when one of my sisters, I got four sisters, but when one of them graduated.
I'm sorry.
They're all great. My dad was, he had a restaurant cleaning business at the time, so he had a lot of connections all around, and he had cleaned this really, really fancy restaurant, and the guy told him, listen, come back anytime, I'll set you up, this, you know, we'll do you a favor, because you do great work, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So for my sister's high school graduation present, he took us out, like, as a family, like, all of us, like, me and my two brothers, and my four sisters, mom would, you know, we're at this restaurant sitting on this giant table. And of course, my brother and I order lobsters because, you know, we're New Englanders. We love lobsters. And my oldest sister is just deathly afraid of them, revolted by them, made us sit on the other side of the table and, you know, wouldn't even look at us when we're eating. And my brother, he excuses himself. He's like, I got to go to the bathroom. So my mom, you know, sends him on his way. Well, he had taken one of the lobster's little claws, the not the giant ones, but the little foot claws, and he snuck it around to the other side of the table, and he dropped it down the back of my sister's shirt. And no joke, she screamed so loud that the violin music stopped playing and the people stopped talking. And all we could do, all of us, were laughing our asses off. And she just slid and hid under the table.
That's almost as bad as the prank I played on my sister. We were in high school. And I don't remember exactly what we were doing, but she had just started driving. And we were going to the high school one night for something. I don't know if it was for a concert or sporting event or what. And the way the high school was laid out, they had like several different entrances, including you know, several parking lots and that. But some parking lots, they didn't allow you to park in at night for events. So as we're going into the school, and what they would do is when a parking lot was not used, they put a chain across it, like a big red sign on it.
Oh, so, I see where this is going.
So we're pulling into the school and pulling into this parking lot, and the first thing that pops into my mind is to yell, "Watch out for the chain!" And she slams on brakes and goes sliding into the parking lot. And it's like, basically gave her a heart attack, you know, thinking that she was going to actually decapitate us with this chain that they would pull across the parking lot.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty good. It reminds me of a prank that my mom invented. And this is the easiest and the best prank in the world. And don't do this to your wife, I promise. But she was driving down the road with my sister. And she checked all her mirrors. There were no cars around. She made sure of it. But they're going along at a good clip, you know, 40, 45 miles an hour. And just for no reason, all of a sudden, out of the blue, she slams the brake, throws her right arm across the front of my sister and, you know, to hold her back into the seat, and just starts screaming. And you want to see someone in the passenger seat freak out.
Oh, the better one was one of the guys at my last job, actually. You know, despite how much I hated my last job, I actually liked some of the people I worked with.
Yeah,
but one of the guys told me that he did this prank on his wife, and he said this is the worst thing, he would never actually do it again. Was one time they were going on a trip, they were on the interstate, and there was a car carrier. Now, if anybody's seen these pickups that have car carriers, typically the last car they load, they back onto the car carrier. So yeah. It's facing you, so you see the headlights and everything. So what he did was he got into the lane with the car carrier. He pulled up real close to it, and his wife was asleep in the passenger seat, and he goes, "Oh my God, we're gonna have an accident!" She sees this car right in front of her. It's like she's heading towards them.
That's pretty divorce. Good. That's a good one.
Divorce.
I did the brake check one to my wife one time because she had the hiccups, and it was like painful. She was really bothered by these hiccups. So I did the brake slam thing and threw my arm across her, and she was mad at me all day long. And she said, if that hadn't fixed the hiccups, we'd be divorced tomorrow.
Yeah.
I have a very great and simple prank to do to people. If they're driving and you're in the passenger seat, this works on almost everybody. It's kind of awesome like that.
Invisible brake?
No. Here's what you do. Sitting at a red light, wait a few minutes and just go, green light. And usually when you say that, they'll start to go, and part of the brain goes, wait a minute.
Oh, you can get someone to go right through the light, though. That's bad.
Yeah, you gotta make sure there's no cars coming.
All right. Let's turn this to geek jokes.
Oh, wait, no, okay.
Or well, here's, get back here's a good on one. Topic.
Okay, this is a self-prank, and it's a life hack, too, okay? My wife's grandfather told me about this one. He's a truck driver, and he said a lot of times you just have to sleep in your truck, you know, pull into a rest stop or whatever and fall asleep in your truck. And he said, but when you do that every time, you have to take one shoe off before you fall asleep. He said, because otherwise when you wake up, if you have both your shoes on, someone could have backed their truck up in front of you. And you think you've fallen asleep driving, and you wake up, and you're 2 inches from another truck, and you can scare yourself half to death. But if you've got that shoe off, it's just enough disassociation that it'll kind of ground you, and you won't shit your pants.
Oh, wow, that's crazy.
Oh, that's pretty good, actually. Okay, so the geek joke. I have to blame my sister for this one, because she told me about it. And I've never actually used this prank, but I've seen what it does in action, and it was possibly the funniest thing I'd ever heard or seen. So, at work, we had a new guy start, and he quickly became friends with some of the other guys in our group. Well, one of the guys was actually known as a practical joker, so he kept doing things to the new guy, like putting tape over the optic on the mouse. So yep, when the guy wants to try to use his mouse. Right. That's a standard one.
That's a good one finally, if you want an old guy who isn't going to figure it out.
Yeah, well, and you know, it takes a few minutes to figure out what's going on with that. So finally, the new guy says to me, he's like, you know, I'm sitting there going, you know, I've got a great joke. I've never used it, and I've been saving this one. And finally, he says to me, look, you guys played all these jokes on me. He's like, just tell me what the new joke is so I can do something to get even with this guy. So I finally tell him what it is. And the joke is, take a piece of saran wrap, put it over the network cable, end of your network cable, push it into plug network jack. Now, this makes it look like you don't have network connectivity, right? You think that's all hunky-dory dandy. So you go ahead and replace the network cable. Guess what? You still don't have network connectivity. Why? Saran wrap specifically molds itself to things. It doesn't actually stay on the cable. It actually stays in the jack. Unless you actually check inside the jack, you don't realize there's a piece of saran wrap inside there that's actually screwing with your network connection.
Oh, that is awesome.
Asshole.
So the guy does this, and I swear to God, apparently, from what I heard, I wasn't actually there for the whole upshot of this, but I heard from the guys, they actually had three people over there trying to figure out what the frack was wrong with this guy's computer after this happened, because they could not figure out if he had a bad network card, if there was something bad with the motherboard on his system, if there was something bad with the cable, if there was something bad with what. And finally, somebody actually looked in the jack and actually found the piece of saran wrap stuck inside the jack. I guess it took like 2 or 3 hours.
And then your friend was fired.
Nope, nobody was fired. Nobody was. It was all, you know.
No,
it was seen as practical joke and escalation to a level that should never have actually happened.
Holy
none of it came back on me because I never actually did it. The only part that came back on me was that I actually told the story of how to do it.
Yeah, but here's how to get back at the guy who did it: is that you just, you know, you go to the water cooler once this is all done, and you just mention to somebody that, hey, man, if you know who put that piece of saran wrap in there, tell him to keep quiet, because when the network dude pulled it out, it hooked on the pins and it bent and mangled all the pins in the network jack. And now they need a new motherboard on the computer, and they're looking to fire somebody.
Well, not the jack in the motherboard. Dude, on the jack that it was actually in the drop side.
Well, either way.
Well, you did it the other way. But they didn't in this case. They actually did it on the drop side. So it wasn't actually on the motherboard.
That's probably even worse.
That's what,
yeah, you'll never see inside that jack on the wall.
Yeah, exactly. And that's actually why you do it that way.
God.
But you're going to have a network guy there to diagnose it. He's going to diagnose it pretty quickly and replace a jack. And same thing. You just say, hey, man, they replaced a jack, and they're looking to fire somebody over this, because that wasted a lot of time. You know, that's the one you get back at the water cooler.
Well, see, the best part about this was, okay, so the guys who are actually diagnosing this were our second-tier guys. We were basically on the help desk at this point. The guys who were trying to diagnose this were the second-tier guys. Almost all of them had been on the help desk. All of them knew all of us on the help desk, so they knew this was some kind of practical joke that was going on. So it turned into one of the biggest laugh fests ever, you know, as far as...
Yeah, but now it's turned into a joke on them. I just walk out and be like, yeah, it's a prank. Let him fix it himself.
Well, but the thing was that they knew the guy had it coming, basically.
I used to work with a guy who got pranked all the time. This dude, he's like 6'4". He's got like albino white hair. But he's like, he's a big dude. You would not want to mess with this guy. And he went to work, you know, right out of high school at a car dealership. And these guys at the car dealership used to prank him all the time. And they sent him into the dumpster one time. They're like, oh man, we threw out a core. Because when you take out, there's a lot of car parts. When you take them out, you have to return the old part because there's a core charge on it. You get like a refund, like a deposit bomb, sort of. You get a refund on it. Or else they told him it was a warranty part, because you gotta save those until the warranty inspector comes, you know, usually once a quarter. But they were like, yeah, somebody threw a part in the dumpster. We need you to go in there and get it out. And they sent him climbing into the dumpster. And then they threw cherry bombs in there when he was in there. and he fell for this twice.
Oh my God.
That's actually, that's, you know, see that goes to cruelty. That's not actually practical joke level.
That's just mean.
Yeah,
no, I mean, it got worse. One dude used to go, and they used to do some all the time. They used to do all kinds of stuff on him. One dude said he was having a problem with the car. It's a parasitic drain, which means that something's drawing electricity when it shouldn't. And, you know, the guy goes out in the morning to start his car, and the car won't start because the battery.
And those things are such an asshole to find.
Yeah, they are. I mean, there's ways of doing it. So what the guy says, he says, John, listen, I think I found this drain. I think it's in the trunk light. He says, I think the trunk light is staying on when the trunk is closed. So I need you to go in the trunk, and I'm going to shut it, and you tell me if the light stays on.
Okay,
all
right.
In that trunk for 6 hours, and the shop foreman, the manager in the shop, he's coming to look for him because this car is still stuck in this guy's bay 6 hours later for a problem that is only going to pay an hour and a half. So he comes looking for him. He's shouting, John, where are you, John? And he hears him, over here, real trunk, right? So the foreman has to let this guy out of the trunk after 6 hours and then has to yell at him for not having the job done.
I got a story.
That's awful.
He said it broke his heart to have to yell, because I knew both guys. He said it broke his heart to have to yell at the guy, but he had to yell at him because it was his job.
All right, Peg, well, you go first and I'll go after you.
All right. A while back, this was about 6 years ago, I threw a house party, right? I had quite a few of my friends there. There was about 30 people in my house. And you know how at every house party, there's always at least one person you don't know? Well, this one guy happened to be a person that nobody knew. This guy walked in off the street, sat down in my living room, and passed out. Like, no one really said anything at first, and finally I was like, does anyone know this guy? And I was like, no. I'm like, why did he just pass out in my living room? What the shit, you know? So we tried to lift him up off the couch, and he wasn't going anywhere, you know? You know how, like 2-year-old kids do when you try to pick them up, how they do that, like, I call it the jello body maneuver, where suddenly they just go limp and you can't move them? Well, this guy kind of did a drunk variant of that. So I thought, you know, I know it'll get this guy out of my house. So first, I grabbed a Q-tip. Second, I grabbed a bottle of hot sauce. I had someone hold his head. Oh, I swabbed the inside of his nose. He ran out. Problem solved.
I would have sharpied him first.
Oh my God.
And it was habanero sauce.
Habanero sauce will really mess with you. Good.
Oh, geez.
Well, he shouldn't have showed up at some random person's house, drank, you know, their booze, and passed out.
Damn shame you didn't have any wasabi for his left nostril.
Oh, no, we got him in both nostrils.
Yeah, that's what I mean. The habanero in the right and wasabi in the left.
Okay, all right. So going back to my work situation, I'm going to have to mention the guy who started this whole pranking thing with the new guy. I'll go by give him first initial is B. At one point, I had actually tried to play a prank on B, and it backfired. It backfired like you couldn't believe, but with the best results ever. Basically, B had a number of, quote, service awards for working on the help desk. And at one point, when they rearranged our seating layout, he was seated right next to me. Only problem was that he and I didn't work the same shift. So he was never there when I was there. He kept playing pranks of taking things and, like, hiding them on people. So I decided it was time to get even with him for what he was doing to everybody else. Somebody else had actually brought in one of those, like, can of nuts things that actually has a spring in the can.
Oh, the snake thing.
Yes, exactly. So it shot a snake out.
Those are great. I love those.
Yes, exactly. So what I did was I took all his awards and all his little decorations and stuff, and I put them in one of the in the middle drawer of his desk. And then I took the spring and I put it in the pencil tray, put a ruler on top of it, and closed the drawer, pulled the ruler out. So basically you have a wire spring loaded in his desk drawer. When he opens that desk drawer, he's going to get hit with the spring. So the next time I'm in the office and he's there, he's going, what the fuck? Somebody stole all my awards and stuff. And I said to him, well, have you checked all your desk drawers? He literally went through the left side of his desk, through the right side of his desk, and he said, they're not there. Never touched the middle drawer. I almost burst out laughing, but I managed to hold the poker face just enough that he never caught on. So this actually stayed this way for like a couple of months. I don't know how I managed not to actually tell him this, that, you know, why don't you check your middle drawer? But a couple months later, they decided they had basically had this project to upgrade all our PCs. Well, they were doing that at night, and I was actually working the night shift. So I was sitting there one night when they came into our area to actually upgrade all our machines. Now, the main guy who was actually in charge of this stuff was this big 6-foot guy, really, really, really muscular, broad-shouldered wrestler. Okay? He was sitting in front of this guy's PCB's computer doing the upgrade on it, and kind of leaning back in the chair and kind of, you know, playing around a little bit, and he almost fell over. When he almost fell over, he grabbed for the desk, and he grabbed the middle drawer. As soon as he grabbed the middle drawer, spring went off and almost hit him in the face and almost knocked him all the way over. Now, he gets pissed off about the whole thing. He actually knew B. He was actually fuming. He was actually going to go beat the shit out of B because he thought B was playing a joke on him. And in the meantime, this was my joke that I had actually planted like 2 months before. And I actually had to calm him down and tell him that, look, B had nothing to do with this. This was actually my joke on B, but that just went off on him instead.
Does this story end with you getting the crap beaten out of you?
Nope, it does not. It does not, because this guy was so focused on B, as soon as I explained to him that it was actually supposed to be a joke on B, that he actually got it. Unfortunately, he did not take out his violent tendencies on me. In fact, he thought the whole thing was actually fucking hilarious that B had never actually opened his drawer in 2 months and actually found this whole thing.
All right. I got a good story, but I'm so confident that it's a topper. I'm going to let you guys go first. And I want to hear about the most embarrassing thing you've ever done that you're willing to admit to.
Oh. Okay.
And I already think I can beat all three of you with this.
I lived
well,
to 330.
I think the most embarrassing thing... What?
I said I used to live with 330. Top that one.
Okay. I think probably the most embarrassing thing I've ever done was last week on KPO.
which that's particular nothing. Thing was that?
Oh, he
I I laughed so hard at Peter64 that some snot came out my nose.
Oh man, that ain't nothing. Come on, that's the worst.
Well, yeah, but then I said it on the podcast.
Well, but yeah, and then to top it, he tried to do a southern accent, to which I actually said he sounded like a Southern Belle. Which he really did.
I like how he said that. Oh, yeah.
What?
All right, okay, he just sounded so depressed that he remembered it.
I tried very hard to forget about that.
Okay, so my single embarrassing moment that I will ever admit to was I actually got locked in a bus station. Now, this is during college. I was actually going back to school at one point.
This is a damn near tie of mine, and I can still beat it.
Bus pulls into a bus station. No, this gets better, okay. Bus pulls into a bus station, and it's around lunchtime. And I'm thinking, okay, it's around lunchtime, but I'm not really hungry or anything. But at some point, I decide I have to go into the bathroom. So I go into the restroom. I'm doing my thing in there. Somebody steps inside the door and turns off the light. And I yell, hey, there's somebody still in here. and I hear nothing. So I finish my duty and basically find my way through things and end up going outside into the bus station, and the whole thing is completely freaking empty. And I'm like, what the frack is going on here?
Frack with a K and no C, right?
No, with a CK. All right.
Did
so what
you
the
actually
fuck is going
read
on
the
here?
Article
right, what the
I
fuck
fucking
is going
linked
on
to?
Here? Okay, so but anyway, I'm stuck inside this thing. The freaking phone starts ringing, and I've got no idea what the hell to do with the phone. I have no idea how to answer the phones, anything. So I just go and sit down in one of the passenger seating areas, when all of a sudden a taxi cab pulls up, and they've got somebody who wants to get out and go to the bus station. I see them, and I get up and go to the door where I'm locked in, and I yell to the person. I said, "I'm locked in the station. I can't get out."
So they didn't just.
And
have
I can't remember if it was she or he,
door?
but he or she turns and explains to the cab driver that I'm actually locked in the station. So the cab driver radios back to the station that there is somebody who was actually locked inside the bus station. Now, this being a Sunday, and there being nobody really around, the person at the dispatch center goes ahead and relays this message to the police, but in so doing, broadcasts it publicly to all the cabs and all the police cars in the area.
Yes.
So the next thing we've got is we've got about 5 to 10 cabs driving down by the bus station to see this idiot who's locked in the fucking bus station. And we have the cop car show up trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing. Did I break in or what's going on? And we've got the manager of the bus station showing up about another 20 minutes after that. Go ahead and open the door so the police could actually question me.
Yes.
Okay? That's my most fucking embarrassing story ever.
Okay.
I love it. So,
Pokey, how does that do? Can you actually top that?
I can top that. And it's, our stories are remarkably similar, but I can put the icing on this cake. So I was about 16 years old. I was working at a car dealership after school as they call them a lot boy. So you go around, you move the cars around, you put them where they're supposed to be, you wash them, especially if you know somebody's coming in to look at it or something. And, that was my job there. On Fridays, on weekdays, including Fridays, the dealership closed at 5 o'clock. And when I say closed, I mean closed. They shut down. They locked at 5 o'clock. Everyone was out the door. Nobody stayed a minute longer. We were done. On Saturdays, the dealership closed at 4 o'clock. So I mixed up days one time, and it was, of course, Saturday. And I looked at the clock, and it's 4:15. And I say, oh, I got plenty of time to go in the bathroom here and do my business. And I would have actually had enough time to go in there and do my business, except for I went in the bathroom in the shop, where on the top of the toilet tank, they had about a 2-foot stack of porno magazines, which kept me in the bathroom just a little while past 4 o'clock.
Nobody's going to hold that against you, I reckon.
Yeah, really. I don't think anybody could actually fault
so
you on
I
that
walk
one.
Out of the bathroom sometime, I don't even know what time it was, sometime after 4, obviously.
With a smile on your face.
And I wasn't doing any of that. I was just looked at the pictures, but I come out of the bathroom and I noticed that the bay door at the end of the shop is shut. And I go, oh my God, today is Saturday and I'm locked in here. And I know as soon as I come out of the bathroom and turn the corner, the motion sensors are going to pick me up. All the alarms are going to go off and I still got to get out of the building. And I was without a license at the time, and I knew my ride would have come and gone too. So now I gotta, this is way before cell phones, but I gotta take a walk 2 towns over to where I live. So, man, sure enough, as soon as I came around that corner, the alarms went off, the police had to come down. I was able to let myself out because, you got big bay doors. You just hit the button to open them and hit the button to close them again and walk out. But, man, having to try to explain that to the police and explain why I was in the bathroom for well over 15 minutes without revealing the porno magazines.
The police got there in the time it took you to get to a bay door and get out?
No, actually, I was walking up the road, and I saw the police.
Oh, no, they busted you after you'd already got out.
Yeah, I got out, but the alarm was going off.
Oh, shit.
And I said, no, I saw the police coming up the road. I saw the police car coming with lights on. I knew where they were going, so I flagged the woman down and said, hey, look.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had to tell her. It was because I didn't want to get fired over it, you know, if they ever discovered it was really me. So I had to just admit to it up front. But, yeah, And somebody had to come back to the shop. He, like, had to come back from his vacation. He was on his way, like, on vacation already. He had to come back to the shop and reset the alarms and everything. It was pretty bad. And trying to just hide the fact that it was porno magazines.
Well, you know, okay, so the only thing about your story that doesn't beat mine is that with mine, I had to endure the parade of shame of all the taxi cabs in town coming down and driving past the place to look at the idiot who was actually locked in the freaking bus station. I mean, there must have been 20 cabs. And it was being a Sunday, they had nothing else better to do than to drive past the bus station.
Yeah, but you were locked in there through no fault of your own. That was... You know, that's the difference between yours and mine. Mine was totally my fault. I screwed that up.
Pokey's right, story so could have taken a very small turn to be worse than yours down here. Just the slightest change in the turn of events, and his would have been way worse than yours.
I was going to say, I guess at this point, Pokey and I have kind of tied each other on this one.
Yeah, I can accept that.
I have a good story of public humiliation.
Well, I was going to say, Pegwell, you've actually been detained by customs twice. So
yeah, I was
going to
talk about that a little bit.
Not both of us.
The short version of this is going from Detroit to Canada. What I had to do, and no one else had to do this, which is bullshit.
he's even still bitter about it.
Yes, I am. What I had to do was, since I was wearing really baggy shorts, is, well, in the guy's own words, is give yourself a fucking wedgie. Yeah, it gets better. It gets better. It wasn't just in the back wedgie. It wasn't just in the back wedgie. It was hike your pants up as far as you can and give yourself a wedgie.
I would have told him, no, sir, you can just feel them.
Yeah, you can go get yourself fucked.
And I had to do this at the crossing place there.
Oh, yeah, you really can't mess around with border guards.
No, you cannot, especially when they're carrying AR-15s. But, and the best part was, there was about, 40 to 50 people watching this, plus construction workers on the other side of the street. Yeah, it wasn't good times.
I bet that dude was picked on a lot in high school.
Probably.
He looked like a walrus.
Was this the customs going into Canada or American coming out?
It was going into Canada. Coming back out, it was a lot easier. Like,
wear baggy pants?
Like, you would think that going into Canada wouldn't be much of an issue. You would think, you know, coming back into the States would be. But it was actually easier getting, like, into America than out of.
Yeah, I've only been to Canada once, and I had the exact opposite experience. It was harder getting back into the States. Yeah, but I'm a citizen, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with a citizen.
So, you're not a citizen yourself.
No, but I didn't get the hard time. We got the hard time. There was all the popping the trunk, and why is your passport wet, and all this shit. And
why was your passport wet?
Why is there
my
a hooker in the trunk?
My fucking water bottle linked on it.
Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm a border guard, and an American citizen's trying to smuggle you across the border, yeah, I'm stopping and fucking shit out, too.
Smuggle me! I have an Australian passport!
Yeah, I'm still trying to smuggle you.
fuck. Here's my fucking boarding passes, my flight. This is bullshit.
Okay,
passport stamp!
Alright, so my weird story that was fairly recent, than like the last 2 weeks, was now. By the way, I have Omaha.
Are you sure
now
you
want to
tell a story like this before the statute of limitations is up?
Yeah, actually, because this one's okay. This one doesn't even approach that at all. Because actually, the coolest bar in the
that
world
sounds like
has
a dare
opened
to me.
Here.
We're gonna figure this out.
No, the coolest bar in the world has opened up here, called Beercade. And what it is, it's an arcade and a bar. And they actually have a lot of the old video games, like Pac-Man, Street Fighter, Joust, you name it. They've got like 20, I think they have like
the next
they have like
owners of the place are going to rename it Short Circuit.
Well, so, it's like the coolest bar. I think they have like 30 or 35 games, but they only have 20 on the floor at a time. But anyway, well, and on top of it, the owners of this bar are really, really cool in that they always have at least 20 microbrews on tap. So you're always in a really good place where you can have really good beer and actually play classic vintage video games. Now, when I was there a week or two ago, I was going up to get some beers, and I was standing next to this girl who was actually really cute. And apparently she had seen me several times throughout the night. And she turns to me and says, "You know, you look just like Newman from Seinfeld."
What?
And I'm sitting here going, now, I'm like totally floored by this because I look nothing like the guy who plays Newman from Seinfeld. Except that I'm a little bit heavier. But facially, you know, overall hair features, absolutely nothing. But she's standing right next to me at the bar where we're both getting ready to order. And all I could think to say to her was, "Well, thank you."
Thank you.
primarily because A, she thought I looked like somebody who was on TV that for some reason she had some admiration for. B, she was drunk. And C, she was really cute.
And D, then I found out she was playing. What else do you say
well,
to
but
that?
Then,
I mean,
but then here was the problem where this whole thing fell apart. I was thinking, you know, hey, maybe I can actually strike up a conversation with her after I get my order in and that. And then I found out she was closing out her tab and leaving. So there, shot that out the door. So, that was kind of embarrassing, but, you know, hey, at least I got compared to somebody who was actually known for doing something.
I can tell you, you're better on that end of it, because I was on the other end of a similar comment once, and I still feel bad about it. When I was, 4 or 5 years old, you know, too young to know the difference, you know, and too young to know any better, I asked one of my sister's friends, and I quote, "Are you pregnant or are you just fat?"
Oh, well, see, the thing is there. Thing is there, you were so young that you could be forgiven for that one.
Doesn't matter. She cried for about 4 years.
Ouch. okay. Well, this girl was not fat. She was a little chubby, maybe, but
no, but
was
she
not
called
fat.
You Newman. That guy's a freaking dope.
Dude, I'm like 300 pounds, so, you know, I can't forget, you know, I can't, get pissed off somebody for confusing one overweight person with another, you know?
Alright. I once, my grandmother was wearing some unflattering clothes one time when I was young. And I greeted her at the door, and I was like, "Nan, you look like a balloon that's been inflated a little too much."
Oh, man.
And then afterwards I had a little sit down with my grandfather, and he told me that there's a way that men speak to women and it doesn't involve comparing them to overinflated balloons. And
well, Kim, way will get you killed.
It was a good life lesson.
That's a very appropriate response to that. I got to give it to your grandpa for that.
Yeah, I know. I know. He could have been like, "You little bastard," and beat the crap out of me.
Well, kid, there's appropriate ways to talk to women. And then there's what you did.
Yeah.
One time I was walking with my sister, again, very, very young. And we were walking by a bunch of people sitting on a porch. So they all heard me say it. And I don't know where it came from to this day. I don't know what made me ask her, but I guess we were just walking, you know, probably holding hands even because I was so young and she's, you know, a good 10 years older than me. And I looked up at her and I said, Jenny, what's a lesbian?
Excellent question, young man. Excellent question.
Yeah, all right. Because I remember her pulling me by the hand after that up the street as quick as she could.
Okay. So back when I was living down in Georgia, down in the South, I was actually on a dating website. And I had struck up a conversation with this one gal.
What's her name? Pegwall?
No, her name wasn't Pegwall or Peggy or anything like that.
I'm a pretty lady.
I got a couple of stories out of this site. So there's a couple of good ones here. The one I'm thinking of right off, though, is this one girl who, she and I exchanged a couple of emails, and it's getting to the point where I said, hey, you know, it'd be cool to actually meet you. And she was like, okay, but the only thing is that I've actually been talking with this other guy who actually I think is a better person, you know, for me to meet. Well, and part of the reason she said that she thought this other person was better for her to meet was that he was taller than me. You know, I just got really irritated by that because, you know, I'm like 5'9 or so, 5'8, 5'9, something like that. I'm not really short necessarily. And I think she's like a couple inches shorter than me already. So I just came out with it, and I wrote her in this email, and I said to her, so what is it? Is there like a sign outside your bedroom door that says you must be this tall to ride this ride?
Oh,
perfect. I never use heard that her line. Again.
Excellent.
I never heard her again. Oh, my God. So,
very, very good use of that line.
Well, actually, you know, the thing about that was a friend of mine actually suggested something along that lines to me. And I said, you know, the amusement park ride thing and stuff we talked about, that actually fits. So I have to use that one. And I think that was for the best because in the end, the fact that she was turning down meeting me over this other guy because of height, of all things, was just the biggest fucking insult in the world. You know?
Yeah, superficial. You don't need it.
Exactly. Exactly. It was so fucking superficial and so insulting that it was worth it to insult the shit out of her for that. Now, the other story that comes out of the same website is this girl that I did actually meet, which I swear to God, the first time we met turned into the strangest date I've ever been on. Primarily because it turned into a verbal, like, Tom and Jerry cartoon.
I can top strange date stories, too. I've dated Pegwall.
No, 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 no. You cannot beat this shit. You cannot beat this shit, okay? Here's what happened. She and I met, and we got along pretty well. We actually had dinner, then we went to a show, then we ended up sitting in her car, almost having this, like, weird-ass debate for, like, 3 fucking hours. And somewhere during the middle of it, I'm sitting here going, what the fuck is going on here? Why is this, like, why am I being grilled about all sorts of weird shit?
Wait, sound chaser, argumentative with a stranger? I don't know if I can believe this story.
Yeah, but this wasn't about anything that I'm normally argumentative about. Okay, this is about, like, general stuff. I then came to find out later, like, a few days later, that apparently...
That her name was Crayon.
No. But I could have been a twin for her ex-husband.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so she thought that I had been put up to going on a date with her by one of her ex-husband's friends trying to screw Excellent. With her. Okay, so Weird. She had actually gone ahead and gone on this kind of verbal offensive with me, thinking that I was trying to fuck with her.
Wow, that's bizarre.
That's awesome.
That is so bizarre. I cannot ever imagine having anybody else ever be in that kind of a situation and have no fucking clue what's going on. And by the way, and the only reason I actually believe this whole thing is because she then showed me pictures of her ex-husband. And the resemblance between her ex-husband and me is astonishing. It is actually there.
Uncanny.
Yeah, if I hadn't actually seen pictures of her ex-husband, I would not have believed that story. Top that, motherfuckers.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody. You've been enjoying the Dev Random podcast. And we all love you.
And we are going to be kicked off HBR after this episode.
Oh, yes.
All thanks to Sound Chaser.
My goal in life is to fuck with everybody.
I think we can probably blame Crayon because he didn't bother to show up.
Well, I figure maybe like at the canonical story, if you just clip out everything between that and thanks for listening, it's like a show.
It's funny because it's true.
Sadly, I will probably just release it as is and hope for the best.
You've been listening to... I'm Dan Washko. Thanks for listening.
I'm Link Fessenden.
I'm Peter64.
And Brian with a Y. Say goodnight.
Oh, that's pretty bad.
But
and, that takes us to a whole new low.
I think we started out pretty much as low as you can get.
No. Anytime
and
you
then we got lower.
I was going to say, anytime you start bringing in Juniper Broadcasting and those assholes, you've gone lower.
Look, we started out early talking about Merkins, okay? We can't be lower.
Well, wait. We did actually get lower than that, Peggy, because we talked about your hairy feet.
I'm not even going to deny it.
His hobbit feet.
The Dev Random Podcast. If you don't hate us after 3 hours, you're hired.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Thank you for just doing the next promo.
Yeah, no problem. That'll be my third promo today, dude.
What the fuck do you mean the next promo? We've had a promo?
Yes, we have. If you listen to Tilt, you'd hear it.
Really? I haven't heard it on Tilt.
Okay.
Or no, it wasn't on Tilt. I'm sorry, it was on KPO.
Which isn't really a promo because four of us.
No, it was on Tilt, I think. I believe it was.
No, I think, yeah, you said it was going to be on Tilt. But I keep missing the live broadcast of Tilt, and I have not set up my podcatcher yet, so.
Yeah, I really have not listened to Tilt live lately. More than recorded.
Yeah, I know. Now, that's the thing.
It's hard to listen to Tilts if you can't yell at them in the chat room.
Oh, yeah. I never thought about that. Because I never think about listening to the live versions of any podcast because I'm always in the wrong time zone. I never really thought about what it would be like to be actually sort of like abuse people that do a podcast in the IRC channel. That must be awesome.
We don't actually abuse anyone. That's not even true. It's a joke.
No.
It's totally
true. But being able to interact with the people who actually are doing a podcast is actually a really cool thing.
If you're being serious about it, it's awesome, yeah.
No, but I don't know if it actually matches up for you, but you know, we go back to this whole music thing and stuff you haven't heard. Possibly the Bugcast might be recorded at a time that you could actually check out.
Yeah, I was on Tilts one time, and people in the chat room were, like, helping me out. They were, like, reminding me of stuff, like, if I was, you know, trying to make a point or something. It was really cool if you could manage to read chat while you're talking and listening, which is tough.
Yeah, well, So people who didn't catch this, me and E, I know, caught this. Dave Yates actually showed up in Outcast Planet while we were doing this. And I actually, as soon as I saw that he was there, I actually asked him if he wanted to join us for a few minutes and see, you know, just to get him on here. And he unfortunately declined.
He wanted no part of us. Can you blame him?
In case you're listening, Dave Yates, you suck.
But, you shut your mouth.
Yeah, dude, you just crossed the line. You can't say that about Dave.
I figured any chance to actually get Dave on a podcast would actually improve the quality of the show, at least incrementally over what we're doing now. So, you know, I thought, hey, I'll take a chance and try to get him on here. And unfortunately, he declined.
Yeah, but as sadly, I explained in the IRC, better is worse in this case.
Yeah, unfortunately, Sound Chaser, I think it's true that four bad apples ruin a bunch.
We've already got four bad apples, so adding a fifth wouldn't have been a problem.
Right, and the four of us would have ruined the bunch that was made up by the four of us plus Dave Yates.
A good apple.
See, I think the one bad apple, or the one good apple in this case, would have actually improved the quality of the four of us overall.
Are you kidding me? I couldn't help. How could Dave?
Because he's Dave Yates.
He probably made it worse.
Yeah,
no,
sure
because
I
he's
did.
Dave Yates. Because he podcasts at 60 miles an hour. I mean, you know, he's the only person who can actually pull that shit off.
This guy is like a legend.
Some of your slow stories.
Don't forget he has a fog machine in his car.
Yeah, but does it run on dry ice or fake cigarettes?
I'll have to ask him.
Yeah, Dave is a legend, by the way. You're right about that.
Yeah, so I mean, any chance to get him on for like 5 minutes even would have been, I think, a great improvement. But, you know, he turned us down anyway, so we're stuck with who we are.
Dave, if you're listening, good choice.
I've forgotten where the hell I was going with this whole thing now, because we've rat-holed the whole thing pretty well.
Yeah, if I knew what I was signing up for, I might not have joined us either.
And you probably wouldn't have blamed you for that either.
I thought I was coming in here to talk with Peter 64 and Crayon. I had no idea it was going to be you guys.
Yeah,
it's Peter 64 and Crayon. It's Pigwell and Etio.
I'm everywhere.
Yeah, and Sound Chaser Tossin for good measure. You do have to understand, it's pretty much, it is
so
dead random.
So
whoever shows up.
So does that make Sound Chaser Unix Reg House?
Yes. Oh god.
That does make sense because Sound Chaser does like to interrupt people.
Oh, we've all interrupted. That's not even fair.
No, that's not fair.
Yeah, you know what's really not fair? You talking shit about Dave Yates, E.
And for the record, I love Reg. He's a great guy.
Peggy's gonna hold this against me forever. He didn't come on the podcast! We're allowed to make fun and verbally abuse people who did not come on the podcast when invited.
I think they didn't come on, so they trumped us.
So they get to make fun of us.
Yes.
You guys have to understand the whole reason that this show actually started was that we actually wanted to make fun of Zombie Circus.
Yeah.
But really? The problem was that Zombie Circus only had one episode when we actually decided we were going to make fun of them. So it was kind of like, what the fuck are we doing? This is like really super fucking meta, making fun of a show that's only had one episode.
You know,
we were like,
no, you decided to make fun of Zombie Circus.
No. It was me and Crayon. Both Crayon and I started digging on people who had been on Zombie Circus.
Listen, we just recorded the HPR monthly roundup show today. Me and Ken and several other people and Ken brought up making Dev Random a regular slot on HBR, and I can guarantee you this is not going to happen now.
It's going to take a lot of heavy editing to make that good.
Yeah! The show's going to go from like 3 hours to 10 minutes.
3 hours? Fucking 4 hours at this point.
Try to make your cuts hilariously obvious, Peggle.
You got a deal.
What cuts? All right, now, before anything finishes or anything like that, I've been saving up this question for like 3 hours because Sound Chaser keeps fucking interrupting me.
Good night, everybody.
Sandy,
vote kick.
No, I just said it because it was contextually sensitive.
Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I wanted to know what you hated so much about your last job.
My last job? Okay. My last
where
job.
Where to begin?
Yeah, where to begin is right. I mean, honestly.
Holy shit.
Yeah, seriously. It was one of those situations. First off.
They never
the
stopped
IT,
calling him
the
Newman
IT,
since day one.
No. The IT group, the IT group, because of the management over it, had no backbone. they actually kowtowed to every other group inside the company.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And that led to policies like, we had to do patching. We could only do it on the weekends, once a quarter, starting at midnight.
Oh.
Okay. So we would actually have to go in like a Friday or like a Saturday night at midnight and patch until 8 a.m. in the morning. Then we'd be able to go ahead and go home, go to bed, whatever. And we had to be back
at work
Monday morning, 7 or 8 o'clock in the morning. Okay. I personally was in a group or in an area that I actually had to work somewhere around midnight or 1 or 2 a.m. until 3 or 4 a.m. So several nights a week, and I got no flex time out of it.
So these guys go unpatched for 3 months at a time?
That's not unusual.
What's the name of this place?
What do you mean that's not unusual?
I'm not bringing up any names.
Okay,
it's not unusual. It's not unusual because quarterly patching cycle. It's not unusual to do a quarterly patching cycle. Okay, that's not unusual at all.
For Oracle, maybe.
Well, no. For Red Hat too.
Because
Red Hat does full incremental.
Just the first 8 digits
releases.
Of the IP address. I'll guess for
it. Okay, so all right. That was
he'll tell us after the podcast, Pokey.
No. I'm gonna lay it all out online right now.
Don't lay it out online because you've been drinking.
Yeah.
Fuck it. I'm not going back to this company ever.
No, but you might go to court with them.
Please note this is recorded.
No, I'm not going to court with them ever because I've been away from there for over a year and a half.
Also, okay. Good blackmail material.
Yeah, I suppose as long as he's not streaming, he can say whatever he wants.
So well, not like that, but I'm never going to bring up the name of the company. This is not libelous.
No, I am never going to bring up the name of the company.
I'm never going to bring up the name of the company, and my real name is not associated with this. Okay. So there is a reasonable amount of anonymity here that I don't have to really be too concerned about it.
That doesn't sound like laying it out on the table for me.
No.
No, but the practices of the company itself are enough that I don't have to worry about it. You know, what I'm saying is I don't have to worry about laying out their practices and their bullshit and actually being concerned about it coming back on me because they won't have enough to trace it back to me. Another thing about this was that there was an extreme issue in terms of who got promoted, who didn't get promoted, who got what position, who got left behind for things. I was kind of stuck in the shadow of a guy who was listed as a system engineer who was designing a system who basically couldn't design his way out of a fucking paper sack if it was on fire. Okay, the guy... He put together a whole system by which all the servers were actually set up as virtual servers, and yet there was actually no overhead or no room to actually go ahead and migrate a virtual from one server to another between hypervisors. So when we went to patch that system, we actually had to take all the fucking hypervisors down completely, all the VMs down, to actually patch them.
I don't understand.
And then, on top of this, what the worst part about this was, I got fucking stuck at a point where when we went to patch all this shit, the shit wouldn't come back up because the kernel was fucked up enough that it wouldn't load all the drivers correctly. When I called him to try to help and actually figure out what the fuck was wrong with this stuff, he basically refused at 6 o'clock in the fucking morning after I had been up since midnight the fucking night before trying to patch his shit and bring it back up.
This is ridiculous. This is my last job. I hated my last job, and I figured you and I were going to be like sort of in similar boats. This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this is to the point. That's why I fucking hated this job, right? And I've got several guys that I work with there that I have huge fucking respect for. There is one guy who's been in IT and who has worked on Unix and Linux systems for on the order of 40 years now. I learned more from him in working there for 1 year than I learned in the last 5 to 6 years working my previous job. Okay, that guy walks on water. I want to steal him away from there. The problem is, he's so close to retirement, he doesn't want to do it.
He didn't care, yeah.
Two other guys I worked with that I would want to steal away from there, one of them left and has moved to Texas.
Pokey, you're all messed up.
Yeah, Pokey, can't really hear you. So I'm going to finish what I'm saying. The other guy, the other guy that I worked with, I have actually tried to bring on board where I'm working now. Unfortunately, he has enough education and certification experience that he has priced himself out of working for the contract company that I'm at. So unfortunately, he just can't make it into there. But I keep trying. Every single time I see anything that I think he could actually apply for and get the hell out of that company, I keep trying. And this guy has actually talked to both Google and Red Hat, and they have both been interested in him. But unfortunately, things have just not worked out. So, yeah, definitely. My previous employer, they are so fucking full of shit, it's not even funny. And in fact, by the way, on top of all this, after I had gone through all this bullshit of trying to patch these systems and having to stay up till 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning from midnight the night before and not getting any support or any help from the person who actually designed these systems and was actually really responsible for the issues that I was running into. By the way, my ass got chewed out from that whole thing because I had asked him to look at some stuff and he said he would, and then he went back to bed and basically left me hanging. But then when I talked to my manager about that and said, look, you're not even paying me a reasonable rate to actually expect that I am going to pull a 24-hour shift or anything like that, I got nothing back. I got no feedback from it that was even fucking reasonable.
Oh, feedback from a boss, that seems unlikely.
Well, not only that, but see, on top of that, that particular fucking manager, what he has done is he has actually realigned himself so he can be part of a big project team, and he has left his group, the direct reports that report to him, he has left them fucking hanging. Okay? Basically don't have a manager now because he's actually realigned himself, and he took the people that were his favorites out of that group and pulled them along with him into a project. Okay? Now, the other flip side of this whole thing is that this guy was actually part of another company that was acquired by the company that I was at. So he has decided that he needs to work his way up the chain and fuck everybody else that's under him. And can't put up with that bullshit. That was one of the big reasons I left. Okay, I think I'm done with all the bright, sunshiny stuff about my previous job.
So who wants to end it?
Listening to the Dev Random podcast with Etyar.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you just meant end. I didn't realize you meant do a proper ending.
And Peg Wool.
Bye, everybody.
And Pokey.
I told you, I'm Dan Washko.
And this is Sound Chaser, who is completely anonymous now that I've actually laid out all the bullshit about my previous job. Talk to you all later.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.
Hey, what you doing?
Listening to Hacker Public Radio.
Cool. Which one?
Episode 972, Linux in the Shell. It's on the word count command WC.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like it when they can take some of the mystery out of the command line. HPR is really great for that.
Oh my gosh, do you know what you just said?
That HPR is great?
No, everybody knows that. You said episode 972. That means episode 1000 is just a few shows away.
Wow, 1000 episodes, that's a pretty big deal. Is HPR doing anything special for it?
Yeah, we're asking everyone to send in a short recording congratulating HPR.
Everyone?
Yes, everyone who listens to HPR, whether or not they've recorded an episode of their own.
But won't that take some time to edit together?
Yep, that's why we need everyone to send in their recording as soon as possible. So if you know anyone who's a fan of HPR, please ask them to send in their recording as soon as they can.
Does it need to be a long recording?
No, shorter is better for this one, so that we can get lots of them into one show.
So something like, "Hey Hacker Public Radio, this is NZ Fangirl, and I want to congratulate you all on your first 1,000 episodes. Keep up the great work."
That's perfect.
Great. How do I send it in?
Oh, that's easy. Just make an MP3, Ogg Vorbis, FLAC, WAVE, or Speaks file out of the recording and email it to ep1k@hackerpublicradio.org.
Oh, neat. Episode 1000 spells epic. ep1k@hackerpublicradio.org.